The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by The Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net, enter in the code name Rogan, they will give you 15% off of the number one sex toy for men. Shazam. We're talking discounts.
Damn.
My friends. All right. With that said, Ari Shaffir is in the motherfucking house.
We're talking digwit.
Buckle up, bitches.
We're talking discounts.
We have to do this music for some reason.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Married to it. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck. It's like us. It's not perfect. It's obnoxious. It lets you know there's a lot of shit in there you would change.
Who made that song? It got really metal-y really quick.
I think Brian made it, right? Didn't you make it in?
Yeah, I actually made it for the old Crackle show that we were doing.
Did you just do it in GarageBand?
It's a mix of the GarageBand and real instruments and effects. And
it's amazing that you can do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. It's so easy to do stuff today.
You're not a trained musician. Do you play any instruments?
Huh?
Do you play any instruments?
No.
Nothing. But you can make that.
I mean, I played instruments my whole life. Like, I played bassoon, trumpet.
Shut up.
I swear to fucking God. You played a bassoon?
I played a bassoon.
Which one's the bassoon?
It almost looks like a tuba, like this big motherfucking crazy thing.
It's a crazy thing to play.
I know.
Why'd you play that?
Because I wanted to play an instrument bad, but the problem...
And you hate pussy as well.
No, it was...
a perfect combination.
It was like, I think you had to do it. You had to pick an instrument growing up, and I liked the trumpet, but after a while, it's just, you know...
What's the hardest one?
I thought the...
Trumpet's the coolest one.
No, trumpet. Yeah. The trumpet wasn't
Isn't
that hard.
Isn't it weird though that we just made that distinction and we both agreed? Like the bassoon is like, what the fuck kind of stupid instrument is a bassoon? Yeah. Meanwhile, the trumpet is like, yeah, that's pretty dope. Like to learn to play the trumpet,
you
that's
can
cool
play
as shit.
People like you would stand outside a woman's like window with a trumpet.
Right. But why is that?
I don't know.
Why isn't that weird?
Yeah,
that's a weird distinction, and it's a one we kind of all agree on. I mean, I'm sure there's some bassoon aficionados out there, but if you had to ask the average person, you play a bassoon, they're like, get the fuck out of here. But if you're like, yeah, I play a trumpet, damn, this is cool jazz guy.
Yeah, like
house,
who gets laid
plays
more?
Plays a trumpet,
the best
you know?
Trumpeteer or the best bassoonist?
Yeah, when I think of trumpets, I think like Denzel Washington and Mo Betta Blues, where I like.
Yeah.
I remember watching that. And he's like cleaning his trumpet and shit. I was like, this motherfucker loves that thing, you know? He's toning it up and polishing it, and girls want to fuck him. And he's like, I gotta practice, baby. I gotta practice. I'm always practicing. It's like it inspired me.
I thought the trumpet was actually the easiest to learn.
Really?
Not the easiest to master, probably, but that was easy. The secret to trumpet is just knowing how to blow it. It's like using your mouth, going that.
Oh, just learn. You mean just learn how to actually play something?
Yeah,
it is fucking amazing when you see a dude who really knows how to play. Though I saw Dizzy Gillespie when I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah, when I was living in San Francisco, they had a one of the God, I went to a cool school, man. Public school in San Francisco in the 70s was pretty badass.
School.
Yeah, and they took us all to see Dizzy Gillespie, and he was a crazy one because you're not supposed to go and blow your cheeks out like a fish.
Yeah.
That's not like the proper technique, but that's how he did it.
Yeah.
And his cheeks were crazy. They would blow out like a frog's.
Yeah.
Like he got, I guess he has like really powerful lungs and flexible skin. And because his fucking lungs are so powerful, because he's been playing trumpet for so long, when he blows it, he's dead now, but when he would blow out his face, it was like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I went to see him, and I was amazed that this guy can do all this with this, make all this noise out of this one little instrument just because he knows it. You know, he knows, like, if he pulls it back just this much, it'll make that much of a difference. And if he hits this key and blows a little extra hard, it'll hit that special note that he wants. And there's so much variation in the notes. You know, it's amazing. It's an amazing instrument. But the bassoon... What you thinking, son?
You know what was gross? It's the bassoon. When you were a poor kid, they had ones that you can rent from the school, kind of like a library book. And so the bassoon that I had looked like something from the black hole, like one of those old robots or something. It was just this beat up, rusted looking, gross thing, and like the spit valve was rusted.
Oh my god!
Like you know, like the pipe where you open up the spit and you blow out the spit. That was just all rusted. I remember that being so gross. That was other people's spit rust.
Yeah,
dude, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
you had to get a used bassoon.
Yeah, I didn't play that as long as the trumpet. I played trumpet probably for 2 years or so.
Yeah, because it's not just the bassoon, right? It's the bassoon.
Could you play Reveille right now if you needed to?
Some dudes.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what I could play.
Could you play Reveille?
I could play, but I wouldn't know anything to play. You know what I mean? I could blow it and it would sound right. You know.
So you couldn't play Reveille.
What's that?
Reveille.
What's that?
It's when they wake up in the morning.
I used to be able to play it. Yeah.
But really? Could you still remember it now? Right now?
No.
If you had 2 minutes?
Fuck no. It's like I can't even remember Spanish. I took Spanish for 4 years. I remember Ola, Mota,
What's Mota? What's Mota?
Weed.
Weed?
Yeah.
C, you know, C.
Tall is alto. Gordo is fat. I know all the things people would call me.
See, I don't know if people were talking shit about you in Spanish. That's what you got good at?
Yeah. It was all body parts, drugs, and you just cuss words.
Curse words. Yeah. That's what everybody does. Whenever you had a new kid that came from Russia, like, dude, okay, how do you say bitch?
Yeah.
Just tell me the keys.
Verde green. Uh-huh. Rojo red. So, Ari, how was Crackers? You were in Indiana?
Indianapolis, Indiana. It was fun. I went skeet shooting. It was totally cool.
What's that? Where they shoot the...
Yeah, where you gotta yell, pull, and this fucking disc flies.
Yeah.
And you shoot it with a real shotgun.
Yeah.
You fucking blow it up. Twice.
Is that your first time shooting anything?
No, I've shot stuff before. When I was in Israel, we used to go to the rifle range a bunch. They let take us out there, but you lie on your stomach there. I think it was the first time standing up with a shotgun. But it blows up. It's so cool. You just have to track it and fucking shoot it.
Was it really trippy?
No, I wouldn't describe it as trippy at all.
Are you feeling any after effects of the Salvia trip that you had recently?
You know, I missed that place.
Have you any afterthoughts?
What?
Do you have any afterthoughts now that you've...
No, that doesn't stay with you that long.
Because you had a...
It kind of goes away.
For the listeners, he had a pretty much a breakdown on Salvia where you started flailing your legs. You started...
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were fucking with me.
Right. Did you realize, looking back now, do you realize that Sam Tripoli was fucking you by saying shit like, I think he's dead?
Oh, no. I looked at it again. It's just me completely not trusting you.
Well, nobody has any idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to join in.
This is the most ridiculous conversation ever. See what happens when I let you talk?
You were typing away. I don't know where you were.
Trying to find that. Well, I was trying to find this thing because I wanted to ask you about. There's a story on CNN today.
Yeah.
And I know that for those who don't know, Ari spent a good deal of his life studying Judaism and the Talmud, and you know, you were explain your whole situation for people.
I was in yeshiva in Israel for 2 years. I was super religious. It's like this dormitory; you just spend morning to night studying. You live around Israel too, and you see the country, but you know, most of your day, 9 to 5, it's really like 8 to fucking 10 p.m. just studying all day long with a break for lunch, break for dinner, and the services.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was super cool, super rewarding. I was good at it. And then I came home and lost my religion, and that's why I'm a comedian.
And you know, how do you go from that to as extreme as you are now? How do you make that leap? What was it? What was it that made you lose your religion?
I just really thought about it. I really honestly thought inside, do I believe in God? And it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. For the first time, I thought about it, and I'm like, I don't like when I think about. You know, you don't have this core beliefs in your system, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Summer's warm or whatever it is. Like, you just believe these things. That's a bad example. But it just wasn't in there. It's just not in there. I don't know if you believe in God or not, but it's just like you either believe or you don't believe, especially when it comes to a leap of faith where it's like there's no proof for it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a believe or not believe. I think it's a I don't know. You know, that's my answer to all that shit. I don't know, but religion.
My answer is if it was an argument about anything else except religion, using the same proofs, mm-hmm. you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Exactly. There's no proof for it. Get fucked.
It's no, well, it's, people have a weird desire to think that there's an answer to all this.
Yeah.
It's, and if you like challenge their thought that they believe in, they'll get so angry they want to fight you and kill you.
Yeah, but I thought it's supposed to be a leap of faith. So you've taken that leap. What? So why?
And they're mad if you don't.
Yeah.
Or they're mad if you question why they did.
Mm-hmm.
But look, believe whatever the fuck you want to believe, folks. We're not telling. This is why I wanted to bring this up to you. So for some people, it helps, man. I know people that need religion. They need God. They need some
they need
idea,
community,
some fucking fiber that they, some path that they can follow, something tangible, you know. And in the Bible to them, it does it. I don't know. Whatever. Do whatever the fuck you want. If that's what you need, good for you. Some people need Prozac. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, it's okay. Different. No worries. But here's the question. I know you studied ancient Hebrew and you studied. Mm-hmm. Did you study a lot of the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a research group in Canada that's according to CNN, that has just proved, and this is the story that they published, that the Old Testament has been massively mistranslated. And follows 3 years of research, which has uncovered that the actual system for translating ancient Hebrew is the group discovered that each letter is not a letter at all, but a full word. and what was believed to be a word is actually a sentence, like a description, which supplies the definition of the word.
So what's a sentence? A fucking paragraph?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't understand this. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up to you, because I know you have a lot of knowledge about this shit, about ancient Hebrew.
So that each...
So what they're saying making any sense to you? What they're saying basically is that...
I sort of get it. Like,
what they used to think, as far as I know, my limited understanding, they used to believe that every letter is also a number.
Yeah, they still believe that.
They believe that.
Yeah.
So there's no numbers in ancient Hebrew, right? It's all letters and numbers are all the same thing.
Yeah, if you want to show there was chai, it's a sign for life, but it's chet means eight and yod means 10, so it's 18. So people usually give gifts. The gift of life is the greatest gift. So they give gifts in units of 18.
Wow, that's a really badass thing. A language that's like that when you think about it.
Uh-huh.
A language that where it's all like numbers and letters are all intertwined. Mm-hmm. And like words have numerical value to them, right?
Yeah, all of them. So it's like you can figure shit out that way.
So really any sort of translation of that into something else.
Oh, you're
like
losing
Latin,
something tremendous.
Fuck, you must be losing almost all of it, right?
Yeah. You can still, if you don't know the language, you won't get the meaning
without
any of that. So you have to translate it. You have to read a translation.
Does what they're saying make any sense to you?
It makes sense, but I don't see how that could be. They know what a lot of those words are.
Do they? For sure?
They make sense as sentences. Yeah. They still exist today in the same word.
So what?
Abba, you know.
So how could they be saying this then? And that sounds like they're full of shit. It sounds like nonsense.
I don't understand it. I have to really see what they were talking about exactly.
I would think that when some shit gets on CNN that they've done some filtering of it and they know that they're right.
CNN might not be reporting exactly right or something. I'm just not sure. I don't know what that would
be. Yeah. Well, and all they have to do is really say a research group in Canada. Look, it's interesting shit. You know, even if it's not correct, it's interesting shit. And CNN is in the business of getting people to pay attention to interesting shit.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to CNN.com, one of the reasons why I go is because every now and then they'll have some weird-ass fucking story like this.
CNN, yeah.
CNN has some good stories, man. You know, you think of CNN as being like a mainstream website for news, and it is. But there's some fucking fascinating shit on there.
Whenever I go to those sites, I just go to the wacky
section. The wacky section? Yeah. There's a wacky section?
There's always a wacky section.
Yo, let me look for wacky the wacky
news.
Section
it's like,
CNN.
Man arrests himself after too many bananas. You know?
Yeah, I used to have a friend that would scour those for jokes,
jokes
every day.
Yeah. Whenever I write packets. If ever I write packets for like a late night talk show or something,
right.
That's all I look for.
Do you really?
You'll give me a fuck. What story am I going to do about Speaker of the House not coming to the fucking vote today?
I have nothing to say about any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
But if somebody tried to shoot a cockroach with a speedboat, I want to fucking know.
It's so sad to be in that state of mistrust of the government and just not – and thinking that the system is so completely fucked that you just don't want to like stop it. Don't even talk about it to me.
Yeah.
Did you hear what the Democrats did on the floor today? Shut up. Shut up, World of Warcraft.
Here's my new deal.
You know? Talk to me about your wizards. It's the same shit.
When people say like that all Republicans are just fucking idiots, Midwestern morons.
It's ridiculous.
It's just so silly to write that off half the country without that they can't have any point at all.
I agree with Republicans on a lot of shit.
Yeah.
A lot of shit.
A lot of it's just
gun control shit.
Separation of taste.
Yeah.
Well, it's different tastes.
If everybody would be like old school conservative Republican the way it was supposed to be, it would be smaller business, smaller government, get the fuck out of our lives, live people alone, leave people have personal freedom. But somewhere along the line, conservative didn't become that. You know, being a Republican wasn't about limited government. It's just like all things, they become what is the most profitable? What's the best way to do this? Well, the best way to do this is be completely intertwined with business. So they're fucking robbing the world and bribing us all the time. Well, that's how we do it. Let's just do it that way. And so that's where it is.
Huh.
You know, so Republican or Democrat or whatever the fuck it is, it's all just some shell game that involves people making absurd amounts of money doing shit that most people wouldn't want them doing. You know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Well, it's offshore drilling,
all sorts
of creepy fucking shit that goes on.
Germany said they want to get rid of nuclear
power plants,
yeah.
As is Sweden. Sweden is powering off
by
their shit, too.
By 2050, they want to be completely off.
They're fucking smart, man.
They just have to figure out how to make it like renewable, not how to use those renewable ones, and how to make it like store the energy.
Dude, it's the scariest thing in the world. The idea that they've created some area that you cannot go to for the next who knows how many fucking thousand years. But that spot, that one spot will fuck you up 1,000 years from now.
They said they went downwind, you couldn't eat vegetables for like 6 months or a year. They said there's still some berries 25 years later you still can't eat. because they store it in a certain way. Jesus.
Are they researching like a thing to stop that or to fix that? Like it, like a goo that they could spray in the air? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet they are. I'm sure they are.
But it seems like
that would be worth some research.
It's a pretty elemental problem. I mean, what you've done is created nuclear fission or fusion. Which one is it?
Sounds good.
It's one of those. It's fission or fusion. One of them's a bomb, and one of them is the sun. One of them is a nuclear power plant. Somebody reminded me of this on Twitter.
Which one's in Fanta?
When I was joking around, because I always joke around that like these guys in Japan have made a sun in the middle of the field, and now they can't shut it off. I mean, uh-huh. It's really is kind of what it's like. I mean, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but it is something preposterously powerful that you can't even fucking go near, and we created it.
Why don't we just use that as where to put all the world's garbage?
That's not a bad idea,
right? Like, just, hey, this
area sucks.
This area sucks. So this area it. Is just going to be a Tetris of nasty. Yeah,
fly over and just dump it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's actually a wonderful idea.
I know.
I like it a lot.
Or prison cells.
No, that's now you're pushing it,
dude. Did you
and make it a reality show?
Did you
watch some morph?
Yeah.
There's the latest thing on this Large Hadron Collider situation. Is that the Large Hadron Collider, thinking about, you know, talking about shit that you can never get away from. The Large Hadron Collider has created a gluon quark, a quark gluon plasma. And what's it's that? Many, many times more dense than a neutron star. This shit is so dense that if you'd have a sugar cube size of it, it's like 40 billion pounds.
Okay. And so what are they going to do with that?
How do they make that?
Is that stuff that is around?
They made that on their way to blowing up the fucking world is how they made it.
If I was in that Large Hadron Collider, I'd figure out a way to do jousting in it.
It's the densest matter available. It's like impossible to us for us to even wrap our heads around how dense this shit is. What's really crazy about that is it's nothing compared to the density of the original universe according to the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory states that the entire universe was smaller than the head of a pin. Somehow or another, just one point of infinite density
popped open.
And it just exploded and created everything. I mean, it's a very controversial theory. There's a bunch of other ones that other people believe in, like brains, like membranes theories, that there's like every universe is like a membrane. Sometimes they collide with each other and it's a never-ending cycle. And then there's another, there's a bunch of different theories of constant expansion and contraction. And that's what the universe does infinitely, just constantly expands and contracts forever, just like your breath.
That stuff used to interest me when I was in sixth grade. That's when I was super into that, when I found out the universe opens and closed. And then I just sort of stopped.
You just got tired.
I was like, all right, I guess. I know, there's a lot of shit I don't understand.
It doesn't affect you, so you don't think about it.
I guess day to day. Stop thinking about it.
Man, I'm obsessed with all that shit. Yeah. I'm obsessed with anything nutty like this that I don't think anybody's paying attention to, especially this quark gluon plasma, whatever the fuck it is. That just
if you had your choice, would you have them shut down the Large Hadron Collider until you could look into it further?
No, I think it's natural. I think what people are doing, I don't want to be anywhere near it, but I think what people are doing is a natural thing. I think that we have a built-in tendency towards accelerating technology. We cannot stop. We can't help ourselves. We need to know. We need to know what happens when I do this, what happens when I do that. I mean, look what they're doing there. They're spending, there's 10,000 scientists from 100 different countries. They have spent billions and billions of dollars. And none of what they're doing is going to help pull oil out of the ocean or fix our food problem or fix our...
What are they trying to do? Or are they just trying to see?
What they're trying to do is create to create a God particle. This is the theoretical particle called the Higgs-Boson particle. And this is a particle that existed milliseconds after the Big Bang. And it's this theoretical particle, if they can prove its existence, it puts a lot of the pieces together of like some sort of a unified theory of what, you know, what creates the universe, what the universe is made of, what's matter made of. So if they make
enough of these particles and put them together?
They don't even know if it's real. They're trying to make it. And on their way to ramping up to make it, they're making shit like this quark gluon, whatever.
So what if they make this particle, then what do they get?
Well, if they do, they also get little black holes. That's one of the things they get. This is a real issue that some people are concerned with. Well, some scientists say you don't have to worry about it because it's just going to disappear because their mass can't exist. You know, like there's they're too small. They don't have enough gravity, and they'll disappear. But like, fucking, how do you know, man?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever made a black hole before, shithead.
It's all theoretical.
You know, you're just out there pressing buttons, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing it. I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing it. Don't get me wrong. Because people, what are you, stifling science? As if, you know, science at you have to look at it all objectively, man. Science doesn't get a free pass. You have to look at it all objectively. You have to look at what the fuck they're doing. What are they doing? You're smashing atoms together, and you guys are playing with rocks. You guys are crazy, egghead, genius motherfuckers that talk some people into letting you break a fucking hole through this dimension. That's what you're doing. This is like, you know what this is like? This is like Half-Life. This is like that goddamn video game. You remember that? They blew a hole through another dimension, and giant crabs came out and fucked people up.
I'm picturing you sitting in front of your computer at 3:30 in the morning just going, no!
I can't help
myself. Like, no.
I can't help myself. They're crazy. People are crazy.
Could you imagine the reviews of the Courtyard of the Mirror across the street from the collider? Cons across the street from the large Hadron Collider.
There's nothing anywhere near
this. There's a Howard Johnson's across the street.
Yeah, it's an IHOP, and they're complaining.
Free breakfast, but across the street from Black Hole.
I wonder what it sounds like when atoms collide at light speed.
I bet it sounds like...
What if it sounds like gay porn?
Yeah, I wonder if it sounds like anything, right?
Yeah.
It's probably just beep,
beep. What if it does sound like, stick it in. No, you stick it in.
And it won't go away. Yeah, for the rest of our life, like we have to hear that.
And my thoughts about it.
All of a sudden, fears, nobody hears anything for 1 second.
Right. The whole world just skips a beat.
And then it went to this.
Comes right back.
Yeah.
Well, my worry about this is not this necessarily. It's about what does this spawn? You know, the atomic weapons that were first created in 1940, whatever, you know, they eventually spawned much smaller, compact, much more dangerous atomic, much more powerful atomic weapons. What is this going to spawn? You know, they're not going to stop at the Large Hadron Collider. 100 years from now, they're not going to be sitting around going, well, there's no need to keep fucking around with things.
Never-ending search for more knowledge.
Yeah, well, the never-ending search for more knowledge and fucking with things.
Yeah.
Pressing buttons, seeing what happens.
There's the themes making of God particles. Galactica.
Do you remember the movie Black Hole?
No. What was that?
It's a Disney movie. It's like the first R-rated Disney movie. It was about a black hole going into a black hole.
Whoa.
What happens?
What movie? What year was this?
1982.
Oh, it must have been awesome.
Oh, it's badass.
It must have been awesome.
it was a complete ripoff of like, well, it was not a ripoff, but trying to get on the bandwagon of Star Wars.
Oh, science fiction?
Yeah. They had robots like R2-D2s, but they had to like paint them and make these big eyes on them and stuff like that. But they're pretty much floating R2-D2s. It's pretty badass. I would recommend it.
Badass for being terrible.
Badass, yeah.
Do you remember good?
Good. Huh? The end, though, I don't want to give it away. The end.
Just give it away. No one's going to have heard of this movie.
The end is.
You don't have to worry about spoilers.
The producers will be happy that you even mentioned it.
No. The end is really fucked up, and I would not ruin the end. But the guy that did.
What?
No, it's fucked up. You guys want to see this movie.
What's your plan?
Want to smoke a shitload of weed and see the black hole.
I really don't.
You really will want to.
I got to be in the right mood for something terrible. I still got to get to
Toy Story 3.
Huh?
I still got to get to Toy Story 3.
But the guy that did Tron, the Neutron remake, he's now redoing Black Hole.
Oh, okay.
And so it's kind of cool.
The Neutron wasn't bad.
Really?
It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
I didn't see it.
It was pretty fun.
I went to rewatch the old one, and I was like, oh, I don't have any interest in watching this new thing.
Oh, it's good.
It
especially
was not
in
bad.
3D.
It's not 3D bad. Yeah, 3D was cool. I saw a Priest last night in 3D.
It was pretty fun.
Was
Priest, yeah.
Pretty fun.
Which one's Priest?
Who is this? Vampire killer dudes.
Oh, yeah. That looks pretty
cool. It's fun. Stupid. Fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Piranha 3D. I still haven't seen Piranha, and I'm going to see it.
It's like a comic book movie. You know?
I want to see The Hangover, too.
Why?
Americana.
Why?
Yeah.
They have a thing there where you can get 130 different types of sodas.
Whoa.
You choose your base, like Fanta Light,
yeah.
Sprite Zero, Coke Zero, Coke, Diet Coke. And then on top of that, so you can get like orange flavored caffeine free Diet Coke.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You can get grape Sprite Zero.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can get it's awesome.
It's Stoner's awesome. Delight.
Oh, I set that for like 15 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
The girl I was with was like, all right, people are waiting. I'm like, you can let them wait longer. I haven't seen everything yet.
Wow.
Ari held up the line.
Yeah, he would be horrible to be behind. I know Ari. He would dissect every single flavor.
I got lost in it.
Yep. Sorry, you shouldn't put up that many if you don't expect people to look.
Or how about you let us in early? I asked the lady specifically, can I get in? I'm high. It's going to take me a long time. And she said, not until 20 minutes before the movie.
Have you seen the flashback sodas?
You told her you were high?
Yeah. I was like, it's going to take me a really long time to decide what I want. I'm really high. Can I just go in now?
Have you seen the flashback sodas? They've taken like Pepsi and Mountain Dew, and you can get the old, they have the old cans, and then they have real cane sugar back going back to like real cane.
Do you think
sugar.
They should let stone people in movie theaters early, sort of like how they elect babies on board airplanes early?
Yes, deal with it, because you don't want me stuck in line behind me.
Wheelchairs and babies, right?
Yeah,
people with small children.
Absolutely,
they always let them on board quicker.
It's an impediment at certain points.
It's not a bad idea.
Ari, do you think you over medicate on marijuana?
Oh yeah, no, I mean I don't know what's over medication. What does that mean?
You wake up, the second you wake up, you smoke weed all the way to the second you go to sleep.
That.
You don't think you do that?
No, I don't do that.
What do you say? What do you mean you don't think he does that?
You're completely saying I do, but I don't. I wait
you smoke a shitload of weed. Every time I talk to you, you're like, I've already had. Well, I just wonder.
No, you don't have to call me a liar.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I do. I don't care. I'll admit to anything, but I don't wake up and start smoking pot. I usually take care of all my errands. Today I didn't, so I couldn't go to the bank.
The way you asked him was a tad on the douchey side.
No. It's true fact that Joey Diaz does the same. You know, he wakes up and smokes weed all day and stuff like that. Every time I hang out with Ari, Ari's already completely baked out of his mind, and it's like noon. And every time I hang out with Ari.
Well, maybe he knows he's going to hang out with you. He wants to get high to make a conversation.
If I go to my podcast, I like to do it. Like, I don't like to do it right before I go on.
That's just a legitimate question, though.
But you said it douchey.
Do you over-medicate?
Later. You want me to explain? You said, you wake up the first thing in the morning, and I was like, no, I don't do that. And you go, okay, you don't think you wake up first thing in the morning and smoke.
Yeah, you said
it's very clear use of the word
think. It's kind of douchey.
Well, because
to question the truth of my statement.
The better
way to do it would be to explore.
All right, I'm sorry that came across douchey.
It's all right.
That's not what I was going for.
It's all right, dude. But the important thing is, the real question is, how often are you getting high all day? Like, how many days?
I get high every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
Damn. Shazam. You don't take no days off?
If I take a day off, you'll probably hear about it. It's a noteworthy moment.
Yeah, well, you know, there's
but also at this point I got high for like an hour and then I'm completely fine.
Right.
You know, unless I get some honey butter like I got last night.
A little bit every day, unless you get like a cookie.
Yeah, cookies and all day. Look, let's have some fun. I went to Six Flags a couple weeks ago or last week with Eric Abrams and Sickler, Ryan Sickler. And we all had some of those stuff from NLCC, the banana breads.
I keep hearing about these terrifying so
stay away from those. Do not
on roller coasters.
Them.
It was so good. I had about three quarters of one. And it was like, oh my God, Jesus.
Oh my God. I couldn't even imagine being that baked on a roller coaster.
It's so great.
Especially Six Flags. Those are hardcore.
Those are so extreme. They have one where you strap in and they lift your legs up. So you're just flying.
Yes.
You can only look down into
nothingness.
What is
that one called? X something?
I don't know.
X2.
They did have an X2. I don't know if that was that one. It might have been. They had an X2, the Viper. It was so fun.
It's so fun.
Season pass.
You have to take everything out of your pockets.
You
can't have nothing in your pockets, man, because that shit will go flying.
This is what I did
this
time.
Whipped around.
I said, fuck it. I'm going to risk my glasses.
What?
Yeah. I had a hoodie on. I tied my glasses to the strings of my hoodie.
Yeah.
And they never fell off, though. They almost got close. But I was like, if they fall off, fuck it.
Right.
I got to hold on or I'm going to die.
Wow.
So it's like, yeah, but they never fell off. They got close, and then I managed to push them back.
Dude, deaths in amusement parks are like, whenever you see that Final Destinations movie, you know those movies where people are dying, it's always like a bunch of different, I never saw one of them, but I have seen, I mean, I think they must have done like five of them.
Yeah.
I always see the fucking previews.
The commercials, they
look
great.
A train hits somebody,
out of control.
A bus flips over on someone.
Well, there's not many deaths on roller coasters and stuff like that, really, but there is a lot of getting stuck. And you don't see that much. Have you ever seen the video of like the people stuck upside down on a coaster for 4 hours
or
something like that?
God,
that's
really?
Worse than the fucking Final Destination flying off the track. Can you imagine being upside down that long?
That would be horrible.
And that shit happens all the fucking time.
That's really?
Scary.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's super scary. If it stops upside down.
Because they don't even have to report.
No one dies on that.
Yeah, it's like safety features worked. No one got hurt.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Sickler was saying somebody lost their cowboy hat on one ride and so jumped the fence to get it.
Oh no.
And as he like got it, he picked his head up.
Decapitated.
And obliterated his head. Somebody hit it with a foot, like it was coming through one of those standing things.
Oh my God.
And their foot got shattered. He just died instantly.
Oh my God.
It's like, leave your hat.
Oh my God.
Don't climb the fence. Those things go like 3 feet from the ground.
Yeah.
So
people make some fucking terrible decisions, man.
Yeah.
Man, people make some terrible goddamn decisions.
But yeah, those are good days for edibles.
Do you imagine the thought that went through that guy's mind right before that chick's foot went through his mind?
Imagine how bad it hurt.
Yeah. Blip death.
Do you even see it coming?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I can't get out of here. Oh my God, this is too close to the ground.
Yeah, I don't know. Like if you're looking right at as you pick up and then just coming around where it's too late.
How fast did they go?
So fast.
Well, I know the fastest one was in Abu Dhabi. They had just installed it. And it was a Ferrari themed one because we did a UFC there at Ferrari World, and it's
really?
A big crazy fucking roller coaster with like
one of them was listed like at over 100 miles an hour, I think.
That's this one. That's this one.
So this one maybe was.
This is the
that
fastest one. This is the newest and fastest.
There was one at Six Flags that said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This probably was faster than the one you're talking about.
Well, I think this one is new. Yeah. The one in Ferrari World, I think it's like this year. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's the fastest one ever.
But if somebody hits your head with a foot at 100 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
It's lots of really fast.
It would suck for your foot, too, man. Fucking God.
Yeah, her leg
hurt.
Got shattered because some douche had to pick up his hat.
His cowboy hat. Yeah,
she just couldn't ask somebody. Hey, my hat's there. Is there any way I can get it?
What a crazy story she'll have, though.
You know what freaks me out is those traveling amusement parks that are in parking lots where out of nowhere there's like this like roller coaster in the parking lot of a Costco.
Circus
you know,
Marcus.
And, yeah, those fake, like, those Mexican
All
Disney worlds.
All the kids from the store went to, got up mushrooms and went to watch it last week, the week before.
That shit's scary, man. I remember my mom taking me to one of those as a kid, and I'm thinking, Mike, Mom, that's like bad parenting.
Somebody set that up.
That's you shouldn't be have control. Like you should not be able to choose that for me. Like that's murder.
There was always those in New Hampshire. I'm trying to figure out where it would go. Would we go to one of the beaches, one of the beach towns, and there was like those little fucking carnival things there and just really wonky roller coasters and shit where you like really shouldn't be on it.
It's just Erector sets. They're not even real metal. It's just Erector sets. Tons of Erector
And they used
sets.
To have like haunted houses and shit and going to the shitty haunted house. It was terrible. It's like a skeleton with like a light bulb on it.
Someone
pops up. And you're like, yeah, you scared me, you fuck.
It's better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
We'll go there.
Exactly. God, I wish I could remember exactly what beach all this shit was on. But they were just the one whack-ass ride after another. They were all terrible.
Really?
It was awful.
Just movements.
And they were all
hills.
Just waiting to go flying off the tracks and into the stands.
And all those people with their fake IDs that worked there would just disappear. All the people that owned it.
You know what was really cool that I just thought of is that, and I don't know how it was where you guys live, but in haunted houses back in the day in Columbus, Ohio, it used to be like, oh, that remember that old house on the corner? They're about to tear it down, but they're going to make it a haunted house the
cool
last
idea.
Year. And so like you'd go in this house
that.
Knowing how, seeing it every day as a child, driving by that one old crazy house, and then knowing it's going to get torn down right after this haunted house, it feels
That's
like that
cool.
house is just like even 1,000 times more scarier. I remember That's just funny. Going through these old houses, like looking around, going, "Wow, this is an old creepy house that needs to be torn down." You know,
That's a cool idea.
Yeah,
fucking use it.
What's up with those dudes who do that shit on their front lawn on Halloween? Like turn their front lawn into like a haunted house.
Yeah, pedophile
child molesters.
Like there was one we went trick or treating and they had a maze. This guy had built a maze. I'm like, this is just a rape trap.
Yeah, exactly.
Built a maze on his front lawn.
Have you ever been down to the Venice Canals before, like Halloween?
No.
Oh, they all do up their yards. It's really awesome.
Really?
That and Christmas lights.
The Venice Canals are supposed to be really nice, but I know two people that live there that got robbed.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Houses got broken into.
Oh, that I could see.
Yeah.
That I could see.
It seems
You're
like
right
a,
there.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you walk on the boardwalk in San Diego, wherever, and you're like, oh, there, I can see into your living room.
Right.
Through this glass thing.
Yeah.
This living room that you're here only on weekends in the summer.
Yeah. Well, not only that, there's a lot of our celebrities, and they say, I live in the Venice Canals. You know, they want everybody to know where they live because they think it's like a hip spot.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jesus, stupid. There's not that many houses there. So people just go wandering around. Hey, look at that. That's that chick from that fucking TV show.
Let's break in there.
Yeah. And then
Why
they,
not?
They know when you're working. Mail. You're working all day. You got a 16-hour day job.
I'm in Vancouver on set.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, great. Oh.
They're like, awesome. We'll rob your house. Thanks for the heads up.
I'm going to jerk off on your pillow soon.
I'm not chewy. How many people did that?
Jerked off on their pillow before they go. If you knew you were in Megan Fox's house, I would definitely at least go over to the pillow and just go.
Would you smell her underwear if it was on the ground?
If you said it like that, as you pointed to her underwear, but I wouldn't think two on my own.
You wouldn't think two on your own?
No, I don't think so.
Is that something all guys do? Smell sniff underwear?
I don't.
I'm not into it. Pussy, yes.
You've done anywhere, it, though.
No.
You've done it?
Of course. I've done a lot of things. Done
it. Yes, you've done it.
I'm not proud of. I've masturbated while I was shitting.
Really?
Yeah. Never done that.
To see if I could. Scientific theory proven. What?
Jason keeps his girlfriend's panties in a Ziploc bag when she goes out of town just to keep the smell so he can pull it out.
Weird.
And I gave her a good tip, and he was like, thanks a lot for that tip. He that before the girl leaves, or his girlfriend leaves, Danielle needs to take her underwear and stuff it inside of her, and it's so much better for the smell.
Why don't you just go over there and blow him? That's what you want to do. Giving him tips. Hey, I know you're really fucked up and creepy with underwear.
Danielle.
Here's a way to get a little more fucked up and creepy.
A little bit more smell.
Take them and put them in a zippy. Put them in a little Ziploc bag. Maybe like a little, you can take a little paper towel and moisten it. Sort of like you would do if you're carrying home cigars.
Yeah, you should do dryer sheets. Something that really holds the smell.
Yeah, holds the smell in.
Shove that shit up there. And then get fucking wet.
It's important because the smell of good pussy is a delicious thing, but the smell of bad pussy is probably the worst smell you can smell next to like some horrible chemical shit that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
The smell of bad, when you smell a girl that has a yeast infection, that is easily the most repulsive. It's worse than shit.
It's the worst thing to have to ignore.
It's a smell that smells worse than shit. It really does, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you agree? It's like a worse smell than shit.
Hmm.
It's like it's nature's way. Nature's way of telling you, listen, this is, you don't want this kid. It's like trying to scare you off. Nature's trying to scare you off.
The worst is when you look and you
what happens with those things?
You can get that. First of all, you get that shit on you. You can get a yeast infection. A man can get one as well. You can get. I mean, really? Who knows what she's got down there?
What happens when a guy gets a yeast infection?
It smells. It gets creamy.
Dick cheese.
Get dick cheese.
I think that's what dick cheese is.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think it's like some stuff that's not supposed to be there. Some sort of like excretion.
It's an itchy excretion.
Yeah.
It comes out of your dick.
Could be from all sorts of pores.
If you have sex with a girl with
like cheeses up on you. You can get.
Oh.
It's pretty easy for a girl to get a yeast infection too. Yeah. You know, like when you see girls like putting chocolate syrup on them in like porn videos and stuff.
Yeah.
That's sugar. Sugar makes yeast. That gives you a yeast. Can easily give you a yeast infection.
It Brian is like the king of information on how to fuck up a porn star's life.
I was like, so obviously that's how you got yeast infection.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're doing those scenes, which do come up in everyone's life, you know, lesbians, bags of sugar, whatever.
It's the afternoons.
Yeah, it's just normal stuff. You're the king of that.
Thursday.
It's a weird thing, man. Their bodies are like, you know, I mean, we're all of our bodies. We just don't think about it. Are, you know, housing all sorts of different healthy and non-healthy, friendly bacteria, unfriendly bacteria, you know, all sorts of shit on your skin. And when you have any sort of an imbalance like that, some sort of a, you know, it could be for women. It's like, could be their diet. It could be stuff they eat makes them have yeast infections.
It could be the black shit underneath your fingernail and you just shove it into the girl's pussy. And next thing you know, she's got WD-40 and poop inside her pussy.
Exactly. Or you could have a dog and she's allergic to dogs. You start finger banging her and all of a sudden the inside of her pussy swells up and itches.
Yeah. You ate shrimp at fucking Red Lobster and she's allergic, deathly allergic to Red Lobster.
Right. And your Red Lobster comes out your dick.
Yeah.
And it's still potent, son.
Tentacle porn.
I wonder if you like ate mushrooms.
Is there any way that girl can't get a yeast infection then?
Yes.
It sounds like they're always going to get it no matter what.
Keep her legs shut.
I wonder
shut
if
for
you ate mushrooms and a chick blew you, if she could get some of the effect.
Ooh, I wonder.
I wonder if you could, because I know that you could drink piss and the piss actually contains psilocybin and it actually takes the trip to the next level.
That's what
the shamans tell you're supposed to do. When you're full on tripping, when you don't think you can get any higher, you're supposed to drink your piss.
God damn.
And when you drink your piss, it's all that psilocybin that's gone through your system and passes through into your urine. And your urine is basically sterile. It's, you know, people worry about drinking it, but it's disgusting in thought, but in reality, it's really not that big a deal. People drink it all the time and stay alive and they get stuck on boats and shit. You know, I mean, it's either drink your piss and live or don't drink your piss and die of dehydration. Stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking simple. But sure.
It's gross. When you're high as fuck and you drink your piss, apparently the mushrooms kick you into like another door. You went through, Brian had a breakthrough mushroom trip that we talked about yesterday where he had like 7 grams and he
7 grams.
The world dissolved and he became a part of some other world.
What?
How much that cost you?
Didn't cost me anything.
Those ones you got last minute?
Huh?
Those are the ones you got last minute?
Yes. What kind of an inside conversation is this, boys? We're talking about a very important thing that happened.
You know what I was thinking about? I saw the story of Pixar the other day.
Where'd you get it? Did you get it from Bob? No. Did you get it from John? What about Timmy?
I saw the story of Pixar the other day, and he was talking about how creation of CGI is all like triangles. And when I was having that breakthrough on mushrooms the other day, that's what I was looking at my hand, that everything was triangles.
Yeah.
And so animation, like a person's face and stuff, it's just tons and tons of triangles. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, wow, what if I broke through and found out that I am a program, and that's what I was seeing, my hand that was triangles, like I saw like the inner programming of my hand.
Well, you know, that's a huge scientific theory, believe it or not, that the world is some sort of a computer recreation.
Yeah.
That our reality is not in fact reality. It's some sort of an artificial reality that's
the Matrix
that's
stuff.
Been created. No, it's not even the Matrix. Is the Matrix idea was that we were using like the human body. You know, they had to make it dark and disgusting. You know, the human body had gotten stuck to this machine, and it was like, you know, it was sucking off all the biological.
Yeah, but mostly that it was just like a computer program.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, but it was also sort of like a devious one that was like plotted to keep people down. And the idea is that the life that we're living, like there is no real world, is that everything that you see and encounter is all just a part of your imagination. All of it is. And this world that you live in, this world, the people that you interact with are all people that you've created.
In your mind, in a solipsistic world.
And you would say, well, that's bullshit because I have my own world and I have my own Jesus. So you're saying that I can do? Yes. Yes. That's the theory. Theory is you have your own universe.
Yeah, you're saying,
too.
Of course you'd say
and our
that.
Universes interact with each other.
Oh,
and
really?
They can change each other. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of wonky fucking ideas when it comes to, you know, what is reality and what is consciousness
that,
and what is our place here.
Wouldn't it be that if you built that universe in your head that everyone else is just a part of your head, so they don't really exist? They're just telling you.
No.
Yeah, but I know that too. Like, like in your world, I'm just saying this, but I don't really have
the idea would be that there would be more than one universe. The idea would be that everyone would have their own, like, you could call it a universe.
But we all exist on the Earth?
Yeah, we somehow or another coexist inside each other's universes. And that they're almost completely independent of each other. But when they interact with each other, they can change each other back and forth. It sounds like total ridiculous hippie talk. But if you look at, like, scientific interpretations of what a computer program of life would be and how detailed it could get. Well, with the exponential increase in technology, it can get absolutely unrecognizable. The computer simulation one day will be impossible to stop it from being as real as real life. Impossible. So to say that we are absolutely not in that, when we know what human beings are capable of, we already talked about this quark gluon thing where they're, you know, this insanely dense
like
matter.
The holodeck
Star
Trek.
That's possible.
Yeah, where you just think it looks everything's real, and you have people fighting you, and
that's possible.
Yeah,
all that shit's possible. Well, this might not be real. It's possible that. I mean, it sounds completely ridiculous, and I'm absolutely agreeing with anyone right now who's going, "This is fucking total stoner talk." Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's also possible. It's possible that reality is some sort of a computer simulation.
Okay, so then what?
When I came out of
that's a big question.
When I came out of being sick and puking and going through those phases of just being like body was ill, like out of nowhere I just became better. Like and I remember laying in bed.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday.
I remember laying in bed going, you know what? I think I just died back there, and then that in some other world, and in some other world you are just like, you know, going, oh my god, you're dead, and this is like a whole different. Like I froze up and I was reset as my program was reset.
It might be
because I felt like I was like, wait a second, why do I feel 100% right now? And just a couple minutes ago, I was
because you barfed.
And to the person out there, to the skeptic, to the cynic, the people out there go, yeah, this is what you're doing. You're jacking your brain up with chemicals, and your five senses are being overloaded. For our limited understanding of this reality and whatever the fuck else is possible out there, just relax on that. I know what you're saying. I'm with you 100%. Of course, you're taking drugs, and some wacky shit happens when you take the drugs, and you think it's real. Ho ho, hippie. What is death? What is life? What is the energy that takes
what is
us here
what's really
and takes us into another place?
It's just the same thing as like liquor, where it's like you just barfed and you feel better.
What is mushrooms? It's something
but
on this
it's
planet.
It's what makes you think that that's what's interesting to worry about.
And
well,
fact,
I know, whatever. What I'm saying here is what everyone's worrying about is what sounds ridiculous. But what they're not worrying about is how ridiculous are mushrooms in the first place.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about, well, it can't possibly be that you're reacting to a higher consciousness. It's just chemicals in the right. Listen, how crazy is it there's a fucking little plant that you can eat that can fuck your mind up so deep? How crazy is it there's this little thing that's like that?
That's
that
cool.
You can take it and it can take you to a cartoon world of impossible images.
That's its defense mechanism as a plant.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Just like a jalapeno pepper.
But why? It makes you want to eat it.
It makes us want to eat it. But yeah. The deers that it originally encountered, it told them, like, don't, because it'll fuck you up.
Is that true?
There's like a jalapeno pepper. Yeah, just like that's...
Well, you know, I know that's true with hot peppers, but did you know that the Amanita muscaria is like the number one food for caribou? They love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that crazy red and white snowman-looking Santa Claus mushroom.
Yeah.
That's the one that...
Oh yeah, that's
they
a cool
believe
one.
That yeah, it's the Amanita mushroom. That's one from the sacred mushroom in the cross, and that's the one that looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
They love that shit. They eat the reindeer are famous for it.
Really? They just keep eating it.
Yeah, that's how the whole shaman Santa Claus myth happened with reindeer. That's how reindeer got in the mix.
Oh,
well,
cool.
See the whole idea, and this, if you haven't heard this, it's a crazy theory. I don't know how much of it makes sense, but. The idea is that this mushroom represents Santa Claus, and that Santa Claus, when you see this Santa Claus and you see him and he's like bringing you packages under the Christmas tree, well, that those packages, those bright, shiny packages, what those packages are is those mushrooms have a mycorrhizal relationship with that tree, with pine trees. They grow under these fucking pine trees, and they grow under them in the forest, and people collect them. And that Santa Claus was a shaman, and the reason why they hung red stockings in front of the fire. Yeah. Well, those aren't stockings. Those are red mushrooms. Those mushrooms are red and white. They're all red and white. They are the colors of Santa Claus. Yeah. And that's how they dry them out. They would hang them in front of the fireplace. That's how they preserve them. And that's also why they hang them on trees. You hang them on trees to dry them out.
Yeah, it's what you make of your reality. As you're tripping out, you're like, whatever, that those drapes become fucking something, a waterfall or something.
What's the poisonous one? I thought the poisonous one was
that
the red.
The Amanita muscaria is a little bit poisonous.
Yeah, I thought that was the one to stay away from.
When I say poisonous, what I say is poisonous. Like it's an LD50 rate that you have to worry about. You know, you have to worry about toxicity. There's some that look like psychedelic mushrooms, but they're really toxic.
Yeah.
You got to be really careful.
I think this is one.
System.
Yeah. There's some that will fuck you up, man. But there's like, it's all in like what kills us doesn't kill other things, and what kills other things doesn't kill us. You know, like sheep. Sheep can't eat DMT. If sheep eat DMT, they fucking fall down to the ground. Their little legs stick up, and they have seizures and they die.
Like dogs and chocolate.
Yeah. If they eat grass that has a high DMT content, they're fucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weird.
Look at us. We have it in our brains. You know, we can smoke it and trip out and we'll, you know, relatively fine.
Yeah.
Dogs can't eat chocolate. You know what I'm saying? So when they do like tests on other animals, that's one of the things you have to consider. Like, man, we vary
so much.
We take
things in differently. Yeah, absolutely. This would be a good time to promote Shroomfest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So tell me about this Shroomfest
thing. I'm organizing an International Mushroom Festival.
Ah, what are you going to do?
June 18th, 19th, and 20th. All over the world, Joe. Wherever people are.
So everyone's just going to get on webcams or are you just going to do it?
No, we're all just doing shrooms together.
I think Brian's got a good
take pictures, webcam, absolutely. Get involved. Yeah. Be a community.
Yeah, webcam it up, man.
Webcam it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely want people webcamming.
Take
Twitter
pictures,
it.
Take stories. Yeah, on Twitter we're gonna have hashtag Shroomfest.
Shroomfest.
So anything goes down with your plans, hashtag that so we can all look. We can all sort of be together with it.
So how do you avoid getting arrested?
Well, you know, just like every time you do illegal drugs.
Yeah, but this one, you make it very vocal. Yeah.
They're going to knock on your door. Getting arrested?
June 18th, 19th, and 20th. Yeah. Mr. Shafir, you want to step out of the house, please? This is the door. It's over here. Yeah. I know it looks like a giant gaping vagina with teeth. This is the door.
I would not be partaking in Shroom Fest.
Why? You want to do it?
No, I just did it.
What if when you do shrooms,
I might do it more than once.
What if when you do shrooms, you enter into some sort of a zone, or if it wasn't shrooms, maybe some other drug, where there was a zone that you could enter where everyone was in the same hallucination.
A lot of people say that.
All the people that are high, who are out there shrooming all over the world.
When I'm
on
mushrooms
some
at a music festival?
Giant World of Warcraft.
That would be cool.
That would be very cool.
Dope.
When I'm on shrooms, I was at a music festival in Ottawa when I was on shrooms, and as I was leaving, as we were all, the whole crowd was leaving, I could tell who else was on some sort of hallucinogen.
Really?
Yeah. In your head? Really? You're
absolutely
right.
In my head, but I
wow. Everyone's on just antidepressants.
Obama, he's on it. I could tell.
Like, no, oh, it's like I can you tell you're in the vibe. Hugging. No, it's Levitra. Yeah. It leaves me smiling. I smile.
Levitra.
Nothing scares me more than those Abilify commercials.
Nothing scares me more than Ari on Salvia.
Those Abilify commercials are commercials where your regular antidepressants don't work, so you take this one.
What does that one do?
And this one can make you suicidal. It can make you homicidal. It can make you a fucking a menace. But it's for... Don't cue that shit up, Brian. It's for people who are... Regular shit ain't working for them.
Yeah.
That's like, all different so ones. People barely hanging on.
A lot of antidepressants make you suicidal.
What the
they
fuck?
They gotta be real careful and start you in slow doses.
How? What a crazy catch 22 there.
Yeah, side effect. They're like, so if you feel more than normal, tell me immediately.
You want to talk about Ari and Salvia?
No, let's
finish.
Yeah, we
can talk about
it
eventually.
First.
But we're talking about Shroomfest, man.
So, yeah, I'm trying to get everyone to fucking do it, to join in. Tons of people at the comedy store are doing it. Tons of people. I might do it a couple times. I might be in Vegas on the 18th.
Are you just going to sit in your house and do it all?
No. I'm going
to
go.
So explain to me Shroomfest. What is the concept behind it and what are you
it's
trying
just
to
everybody,
do?
Everybody, let's all fucking do it together.
Let's all do
let's
it
all
together.
Make an excuse just to do some shrooms. They're awesome. Everyone should experience them. Here's the reason. Hmm. Just for the sake of the thing.
How many freakouts do you think you're going to cause worldwide?
Yeah, plenty. And when I was planning it, I was deciding when should we do this? And I thought Monday would be the best day because let's stay away from the squares. They'll be at work. Let's
right.
not get involved in it. But so many people were asking me. They're like, "But I want to do it, but I can't take off a day of work."
Yeah, man. What your problem is? You're only going to get the societal yeah. outcasts.
So I added Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, nice.
I waited
so
till high
Saturday,
school was
Sunday,
done.
And Monday.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I waited till high school was over.
Right.
So kids didn't have to worry about schools and finals.
Wow.
So somebody's going to do something bad, and they can blame you though. When all this
no, you got to take responsibility for yourself and your own actions.
It seems like that's not a good idea to promote a day of.
Well, if I say everybody come up for a July 4th barbecue, and somebody dies on the way there, it's the same way. It's like be careful. Be careful. Yeah, there's, you shouldn't do it and drive. Nobody should drive on mushrooms. Absolutely not. If that's the point you're making, good point. Yeah, don't do anything reckless at all. But have some fun. Organize a party. Go to a beach. Go to a barbecue. Go to a music festival.
There's worse things that we could do with our time.
You're talking about portobello mushrooms, too.
No, I'm talking about psychedelic mushrooms. Make no bones about it. I'm clearly talking about illegal mushrooms. But I'm still saying, let's all do it. Start looking now. Find your shrooms. Ask a waiter. Ask whoever would your stoner friends, they'll know how to get it.
If your waiter has more than one tattoo.
Yeah, ask him.
Ask him.
That's a good source.
Yeah. Especially if he's got good tattoos.
If they don't have it, they'll tell you where to get it.
You know, if you tip well.
Yeah.
Well, where would you go? Would you go to a bar? Ask a waiter at a bar? That's the best move, right?
I would say like a Houston's.
Houston's? A Houston's?
Just because my roommate used to work there and he was like, yeah, we all had weed.
I would say Guitar Center.
That'd be a good idea too.
You know?
You have to convince them that you're not a cop.
Right.
Because it's very weird. Like, do you have any mushrooms that are illegal for me to purchase from you, sir?
There was another woman who was a cop who coerced some guys into getting her drugs, and then they arrested the guys for drugs.
Really?
The guy was saying that he could get... It was in somewhere near San Diego. I forget where it was. And I bring this up because yesterday we were talking about that ridiculous case where the woman went to high school. Not just one woman, but a bunch of different people went to high school and pretended to be high school students. And they were cops. Undercover cops. And they busted all these people for weed.
Wow.
You didn't hear about this?
No. Damn, that's fucking rude, man. That's when you're just being the man. What are you doing? Why are you hurting those people?
28 so far. More to come.
Fuck.
That's... But my point is, like, when you ask someone, like, say if you're talking to a child and you're an adult, right? This woman has got to be like at least 19 to be a cop, right?
Yeah.
And she's talking to some kids. How much smarter are you than them? When you're 19 and they're 15, you're so much fucking smarter than them, man. You could talk them into doing all kinds of shit.
That's why there's statutory rape laws.
Yeah.
Because you can talk them into it.
Dude, you barely talk normal as it is. You got a mouthful of fucking food.
That's why there's statutory rape laws. It's so crummy, too.
What are you eating?
A cookie. I have a basketball game tonight.
Oh.
I played with a cookie on the other day.
Nice. Oh, a pot cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Whenever I just... It just says it like we're just supposed to know.
But I played basketball at the park with all my comic friends.
Right.
I shot lights out. I took a Jolly Rancher like 2 hours before.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on fire. I've never played that good, yeah, ever. Not in high school. Never been that good.
It gives you a certain sensitivity.
Everything slowed down. The ball came at you. Like, okay, I can gonna catch that. Should I pass it on? Should I work for a shot? Well, here it comes. I should grab it now.
You should try a pool on it. You tried pool on it?
No, I just did my first poker tournament.
Dude, you could play the fuck out of some pool when you're high. You feel where the ball's going. I've done
that. I play pool high. I'm just never on an edible, I don't think.
Yeah, the edible's the way to go. Regular high is good, but there's something. What the edible does to me is it tunes the whole body in. You know, whereas pot, like when you smoke it goes blast right to your head.
Yeah.
And you're high as fuck, but it's not, your body's not as in tune the way it is with an edible. Edible does something where the whole thing just hits the same frequency. The whole, you get a control over your body, a feeling over your body. It's why sex is so good. Right, Brian?
Edibles. When you're high. Pot squared.
Yeah. It's crazy shit.
I think in these Jolly Ranchers lately, it's like doing Vicodin. Immediately.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Like, just like super body numbness.
So you just not lie there?
Really?
Or do you just not feel anything?
It just, everything feels numb.
That's but cool. Vicodins just make me stupid as fuck. I can't take those things.
Yeah, that part of the Vicodins, it doesn't
do that?
No, it's just more of like a body part of the Vicodin.
Man, that's all I associate with Vicodins. Right. I got Vicodins after my first ACL operation. And the first one I did, they did what's called a patella tendon graft. And what that is they take the patella tendon is a really big, fat, thick tendon. And what they do is they take, they drill a hole and they cut the bone out. They cut a section of the bone out and slice the tendon and then cut a section of the bone out where it connects in your shin. And then they open you up like a fish and they screw it into the bottom with a screw and they screw it into the top of the screw and it sets and eventually becomes like really strong like it is now. But the fucking pain of these screws that they put in the bone of your shin is hard to describe, man. It's
Frankenstein.
Fucking hard to describe. Wow. And I was lying on the couch. I had my second one done with a cadaver, and it was way easier. It was nowhere near the pain. But I would get off the couch, and it would be like lava. Like someone took a pitchfork and just dipped it in hot lava.
Just burning?
And just started just shoving it into your asshole. Like that's how bad it hurt. It was fucking intense. And so they gave me some Vicodins. Every time I'd get up off the couch, it was really temporary. It would only last like maybe 30 seconds or a minute. But the fucking pain was, I never felt anything like that. I'd had broken bones. I've been sick. I've had a lot of like real bad moments. I had pneumonia.
Don't tell me you refused the Vicodin.
I fucking got rid of them. What? Got rid of them after one day. Because I took it and I was sitting on the couch and I was so fucked up. I was so dumb. I was so dull. Yeah. My mouth was open and I was watching MTV. And I remember thinking, I will never do these again. I don't give a fuck about the pain. I don't ever want to feel like this. I just felt stupid as fuck. And I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me. Because the dudes at the pool hall loved them.
Yeah.
They bought those shits off me with the quickness.
Can I have those?
Yeah, man. Before I even fucking offered, my friend Jeff was like, hey, bud, you got some Vicodins? You trying to get rid of those things, bud? Like, how'd you even fucking hear, you vultures? They knew. I was like, this stuff sucks.
Yeah. I just didn't like how they constipated me.
They give you constipation, too?
Yeah,
really? How many times have you guys done these things?
No, I took it for my knee surgery. I had to take it for like a week or two.
Yeah,
and I didn't get the crazy stupid stuff, but I did get
you had a meniscus. Meniscus.
A bone crack.
You had a bone crack.
Yeah.
Ooh, how'd the bone crack?
It's all. I don't know. It's all.
Did you get like heel hooked or something? Did someone catch you in something?
I honestly think it was kettlebells.
Kettlebells.
Just because the next time I did kettlebells after I came back from PT from physical therapy, I could feel a tweak.
Really?
I was like, yeah, I should. This is what it was. I thought it might have been before because I was like, it was around the same time as I did some of those. They really add to your power. But
your problem was you went for like this long period of time where you weren't in shape, and then all of a sudden you threw yourself into jiu-jitsu class.
Yeah, it was after like a year though. It
yeah,
wasn't
like
right away.
You were
anything,
still getting. You were getting some breakdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard, and you don't eat that good.
No,
you know
that good. No, I don't eat good.
You know, we talked about that. Like, I'm like, if you really want to do this, You have to take vitamins and you have to eat well.
I'm really trying to get my candy intake to where I want it.
Where's it at right now?
Well, I'm suffering greatly in the juji fruit category.
Juji fruit?
Uh-huh. All the sort of jujis.
Never was a fan of anything other than chocolate.
What?
I would try other things.
Oh,
I get bored
live
with
your
them.
Life, man. Get out there.
I try them. Things. You know, I try like go crazy, get a little Sour Patch Kids. And I was like, it's fucking
melon rings.
Do it for have some chocolate.
Melon rings are good too.
Melon rings.
Melon rings.
First time. Yeah, little gummy melon rings.
Not really a melon rings fan.
Squirty gummy yeah. bears. Peanut.
Brian's gonna have the same voice in the same conversation when he's 80.
Yeah.
Oh, squirty gummy bears. Squirty. Yeah, melon slices. They're all gonna think he's a pedophile. He's like, listen, I just never grew up. I'm the same guy.
Like, tell us about 9/11. Well, these terrorist abinos.
That was back when you can get Twizzlers at the corner store. Go to the gas station, get Twizzlers before they made them illegal. Yeah, one day Twizzlers will stop paying.
Yeah, the government will be like, why would you think you should be able to eat those? They do nothing but bad for you.
Government come in, bitches, you know your shit's poisonous. Shut everything down.
The Twizzler factory.
I mean, look, someone has to come to the absolute conclusion that that's what's happening with cigarettes.
Yeah.
There's no other fucking way cigarettes would still be legal. They're paying the government to keep cigarettes legal. There's just no way around it. If there's one thing that's killing 350 to 400,000 people every year.
Americans? Worldwide?
Americans. Wrap your head around that.
300,000 Americans every year?
300,000 Americans plus every year.
So that's like
dead from cigarettes.
A tenth of 1% of the country. Mm-hmm.
Well, look, they were going to die eventually.
One out of every 1,000 people dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every year.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah, that should totally be illegal. They should give you like a year.
Yeah,
like,
every six and a half minutes.
This, I'm pulling this out of my ass, so we'll just
Google it. It's every 6.5 minutes somebody dies.
Somebody
really?
Dies. In America or the world?
I don't know.
You don't know. Every 6 hours, I'd say in the room. Cigarette smoke.
I don't know.
We're just guessing. Like,
why even say?
Because I can't imagine the commercial going.
Listen to this. It's even crazier.
America.
It's even crazier.
What?
Worldwide, tobacco deaths are more than 5 million per year.
Wow.
Whoa.
Now, how many of those are counting somebody?
Here we go. The most recent statistics, America. 2011.
Yeah.
443,000 U.S. deaths attributed.
What? It's only been 5 months.
No, each year. They're saying each year. Sorry, I didn't read the full sentence to you.
What is it?
Each year, an estimated 443,000 people die prematurely from smoking or exposure to secondhand smoke, and another 8.6 million live with a serious illness caused by smoking.
Wow. Oh, yeah, they have people like that. They don't die, but they have a tracheotomy.
Dude, that is not just tracheotomy. How about people who have iron lungs? How about people that are slowly dying?
Iron lungs? Is that still around?
Fuck yeah, it is.
People still have iron lungs?
Like, it's like you see them at the airport, man. They're carrying around. Oh, there's some people that have iron lungs, The thing where it forces you to breathe in and out. I'm sure that exists still. But how about the people that are connected to those tanks?
Yeah.
They bring them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are in their nostrils. And you know what it is, man.
I saw a guy like that at the gun range. He had that thing in his scooter. In the back, next to his rifle, it was also in the back.
Well, for some people, I shouldn't say you know who it is, because for some people, I'm sure they have to use that because of an actual disease that they didn't get from smoking.
Oh, yeah.
But it's amazing, man.
Yeah, they should make that illegal.
Those numbers are really scary. The trippy thing about them is that it's never discussed. You know, they'll talk about 3,000 people that died during 9/11, and no one's saying that that's not a big deal. It is a big deal, and it's a horrible thing. But 443,000 people are rotting to death, choking on their own fluid that's building up in their rotten lungs. They drown. They drown in their own fluid. They literally can't get oxygen into their lungs anymore. They fill up with fluid and they die a horrible death. They have to strap them down.
That's 1,000 people a day.
Yeah.
That's more than 1,000 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
Criminy.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah, that should totally be illegal. They should give you some time.
That's so scary.
Right? Six months.
6 months to a year.
Yeah.
We're like, it's going to happen here.
No, 6 months.
I don't think it should be illegal. I think you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want,
man.
Well,
the secondhand smoke makes me think that they should do what they're doing in terms of like not in public.
That's scary when you have a spouse or children and you're smoking in your apartment. That's a lot of people are doing that, and those kids are getting sick.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
Do you know it's against the law now in California to drive in a car with anyone under the age of 18?
Really?
Even if it's your own kids.
And smoke cigarettes.
Yep.
Oh, and smoke.
Yeah, and smoke.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, what are you
talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? Why are you taking your kids to school? That's ridiculous.
You're like, really? You can't drive kids?
This is the only one way to keep kids from fucking. We have to keep them at home.
Don't let them drive.
Don't drive them around. They just fuck.
No, but that's one thing I do remember as a kid. My friend's mom always driving us to the bowling alley every weekend because we were in a bowling league.
And smoking
the whole way there with the windows open. And as a kid, I remember going, this is disgusting. And I told my mom the other day about it.
Meanwhile, here you are smoking.
Yeah. That's exactly probably one of the reasons why. That or my grandfather always smoking. You know, everyone smoked around me as a kid.
That's definitely not why. The reason why is because you put a cigarette in your mouth and you light it and you smoke it.
No, but
that's why you're smoking cigarettes.
But the reason I ever got to the point where I would do that is because I grew up with everyone around me smoking.
It was illegal too. Probably, that's possible. Illegal, you wouldn't have smoked,
but I grew up around people smoking. My mom smoked when I was a little kid. She quit. I think she quit when I was like 10. Yeah. Something like that.
I would
got
try to see
her smoke
eventually if they were completely legal. Like
really?
When I was born, if they were legal, I would have eventually got into. I would have like found one and tried it.
We all tried them together when I was like 15.
Yeah,
my sister stuck with it for a long time. Man, she kept smoking for years. She quit now, but
really?
Fuck, it's not easy, man. You know, everybody. Brian will tell you. Joey will tell you. You can tell everybody. You know, you can all. You guys are currently addicted, and you were. You know, you're
so the debate. Recovering 6 months or a year is still open.
It's just amazing.
I'd say a year.
It's amazing that the government can somehow or another allow this. That they can pretend they're looking out for our interests. They're, you know, stop fucking high school kids from selling weed.
Yeah.
Get some people, pay our own tax dollars, or have some chick play 21 Jump Street, you know, and go in and get some weed off some kids.
Yeah.
They didn't even uncover anything other than weed.
That's crazy.
You know what that makes me? That makes me happy about our new generation. The kids coming up. Yeah, they got arrested for weed, but look, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're just smoking some weed and trying to bang some cop.
That's right, exactly. Like, what? I want to get laid. I had these people in Central Washington in my show that were they had no teeth in their smile.
Whoa.
So no, I was like, heroin? Is that a meth situation? And he goes, he holds up his drink. He goes, 7 years sober, man. And I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, wait, you're holding up a beer. But you know what he said to me? He goes, you don't think there's a difference between a fucking drink at a comedy club and meth? And I was like, you're absolutely right, and I apologize. There's a complete difference.
How funny is that, man?
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Yeah, and I was like, you're not even sober? I'm like, fuck, of course you are.
Hey, you need to take advice from that little Esther chick. She says a lot of cool shit on Twitter.
Revice?
Huh?
Advice. Here's what little Esther just said on Twitter. Everyone that's in a relationship is delusional. Little Esther, stop. Move away from the fucking keyboard, right? This is getting too transparent. I'm starting to feel ill.
There's a new breed of people who love taking shit public. Who love, like, throwing shit out there.
That's just silliness.
Just so the person who has offended them will know they're talking about them.
There's a little of that. That's a little bit, I'm sure, in that statement. There's also, that's the kind of thing you say when you're 21.
Yeah.
And you think you really have an answer. That's the saddest thing about life. You get older, you get more questions.
Yeah, you realize, but you accept that there are no answers to a lot of things. So you're just able to accept that.
That's a tough fucking sell, man. That one moment where you have to give in and accept that there are no fucking answers. I mean, we all know that that's what turns people to religion. I mean, you were much more religious than I was when I was a kid, but I was very religious for a little while. When my parents were breaking up when I was 5, before I went to Catholic school and they cured me.
Yeah.
They cured me in Catholic school.
This cured your religion?
Fucking cunt nun. This evil woman. This woman was just rot. Rot. That's what she was. She was just
rotten.
Sister Mary Josephine. She was just rot. She was a rotten person. Like, everything was bad about her. Huh. She started yelling at me the first day of fucking school.
God, why?
She was just evil, man. She was just an evil bitch.
She's dead now, you think? How old was she then?
Yeah, she was old as fuck. She was old as fuck when I was like 6. You know, but I remember thinking, like, while I was getting through school, well, you know, every day I lived in terror. It was just fucking so mean. But while I was getting through school, I remember thinking, well, now I have to, like, figure out what the fuck is going on. Because clearly it's not religion. Because I thought when I went to church when I was a little kid, when I was like 3 and 4 and 5, you know, church to me was like my whole life was falling apart. My parents were getting divorced. I didn't know what was going on. My dad was super violent, and I was just starting to realize that he beat my mom up for no reason. So to me, like, there has to be God. There has to be something, you know. And oh, really? When I would like go to go to church with my grandparents or with some, you know, whoever took me, I would say, well, this is beautiful. You know, everybody here is being nice, and God be with you, and they're all saying nice things, and you know, and they're telling you if you do the right thing, you go to heaven, and all the sins on earth, you know, disappear and dissolve. But this cunt was so evil, and she was connected to this. I was like, wow, she was like the shittiest salesperson for a religion of all time.
Yeah, they don't get the right spokesman.
But that's like one of the cool things about being Catholic. What? You know, the religion is so ridiculous. Very few people completely agree with it. It's so over the top, stupid, and ridiculous. And I mean, there was a story last week about one of the head guys in the Pope's whole thing about pedophilia. Yeah, got arrested for pedophilia. Really? This motherfucker got arrested for he was trying to get Moroccans to deliver him young boys, and he was telling them to get them from kids who had a troubled childhood.
And what was his position?
All this shit was on.
He was in charge of the pedophilia of to make sure that the priest didn't do it. Like he was the guy that the Pope put in charge of making sure that doesn't happen.
He was there. He was there. What's the branch of the cops that investigates their own?
The
I've watched enough TV shows.
Peter Protectors?
No. But yeah, so those
here is
people.
A story. A priest in the archdiocese of a top advisor to Pope Benedict the, what is it, the 16th, what is he? Yeah. Was arrested Friday on pedophilia and drug charges.
Yeah.
And they have all the papers of this dude asking for they have like emails and shit of him asking for boys and wanting them from backgrounds where they're you know, like didn't have a family and they're all fucked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is it, the guy that was in charge to make sure that didn't happen?
This is one of the things he wrote. I do not want 16-year-old boys, but younger. 14-year-olds are okay. Look for needy boys who have family issues. Wow. He was trading cocaine for boys, and that the Vatican knew about the problem for decades. Listen, man, they're all creepy.
That's the worst part. I understand. If a priest does something, that's not the whole organization's fault.
What? Dude, they've been doing this shit forever, man. They've been doing this shit forever.
They back it up. If you don't arrest them, you're backing it up.
This Pope, when he was a bishop, this one that's currently in now, they have all sorts of paperwork showing that he was shielding child molesters. He was moving them. He was moving them from one place to another and trying to get them to avoid prosecution. It's amazing. It's amazing that anybody would take any of this shit seriously, that it's still – they can still do this and they can still have meetings with Obama and everyone can still pretend this is some insane –
the representatives of evil, and you're going to tell me
– yeah. It's a fucking cult of kid fuckers. That's what it is.
Why is this not like on the front page of CNN? Why is that the only article about this was from some – you know, translated from some Italian newspaper?
People don't want to hear
about
it,
like, why aren't they collecting all these facts and like really talking about this on mainstream news?
Is it? I think some of it might be also – people are just tired. It's the same story for the last 15, 20 years.
It was in the New York Times. It's pretty mainstream.
Did they just translate the articles, what I'm saying? Is there actually anybody really talking about this other than translations from Italian newspapers?
You know, I don't know, but there's been other stories about these in the New York Times as well. It's not like people are avoiding all these pedophile issues. And there was also, like, in every mainstream story or every mainstream news source, there was some big meeting that they had recently to deal with priests. And sexual charges, and that was all public too. A certain amount of it has to be public because it's such a known issue.
If you out there go to Catholic churches, you're going to an organization that condones this behavior. So just know that when you show up for church tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're joining an organization that condones that behavior.
Yeah. What the fuck? What are you doing? It's amazing, but you really are.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm associated now with child molesters in my organization that are making the rules for me, but I'm not leaving this organization.
Based on fairy tales.
Yeah. Well, based on who the fuck knows what the original thing was.
Even if you believe in Jesus, you clearly know these people are, just go to a non-denominational church or something.
Yeah. Well, they're not acting in Jesus' name when they're fucking your kid's mouth. It's that simple. Yeah.
No, clearly not. That's right.
It's amazing how many people can get away with. There's Bill Maher had a clip that somebody put up online from his show that made a really good point. And he was talking about how many people call themselves Christians but don't follow any of the rules of Christianity.
I just want to say it.
Like, he was talking about the Osama bin Laden thing. Like, Jesus was like the most nonviolent guy ever.
Yeah.
You know, and he was the guy who said, turn your other cheek, you know, do not be evil to your enemies, but treat them with love. And meanwhile, and the Christians are like
going to kill Muslims with guns and horses on a on boats.
Yeah, and it was really funny because Obama, they asked Obama like about people that would, you know, whether, you know, what's the controversy about the death of Osama bin Laden. Yeah. And he was like, anybody that think there's anything wrong with getting rid of that guy, it needs to have their brain checked.
Yeah.
Needs to have their head checked. Like, this is a guy who pretends to be a Christian. This was like Bill Maher's point.
Yeah.
And that's such a good point. You know, because it's like the most neglected aspect of Christianity.
It's
like, you're not supposed to hate.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be angry at people. And you're supposed to be all turn your other cheek.
Turn your cheek, but not just love your enemy.
Yeah,
not
love your enemy. Not just love
your fellow name. Yeah. Mountain, what is it? Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take your enemy, the guy who you hate,
mm-hmm.
and not just forgive him, but love him.
Yeah. Well, really, it's awesome advice.
Why didn't they capture that guy?
Jesus?
No.
Jesus. Osama bin Laden?
They should definitely try to capture Jesus.
I don't think it's real. I don't know if it's real. It might be real. They might have done exactly what they said, and they might have killed Osama bin Laden at that moment. But, you know, there was a lot of reports, like, way back to 2002 that guy was dead. And they were always saying that he was very sick. You know, they were always saying that guy had, you know, bad kidneys, and he had needed dialysis on a regular basis.
I don't think they take the chance of him possibly being out there to say... Like, unless they know, they've seen his body, there's no way let the president go on and say, I assure you he's dead. If, like, it might come up that he's not.
If he was already dead a long time ago, that's what they believe. What people believe is that this is some sort of a publicity ploy to keep Obama in office. Look, Obama is like this ingenious device that the Republicans have created. Get a guy, run for the Democratic Party, make him black, and make him do everything a Republican would do. Yay! And everybody loves him. And he's fucking you and you're clapping. Yay! Yeah. He's the black president! Yay! Meanwhile, he's fucking Bush plus. He's doing everything that Bush did plus. He's doing exactly the same shit.
My problem with the theory that, like, he just did this to win an election that's coming up is like, well, if they're going to do that, the timing is not right. Wait, maybe it is, though.
Maybe it is, because maybe this is what sets the ball in motion. Maybe they have, like, political experts that have actually studied, like, tides of the cult of personality and how many months does it take. Maybe, like, all this shit with Kim Kardashian and all this. This is all the government has done is create these famous people for no reason, just so you could see, like, chart the tides of how much time does it take for people to get pissed off at you, and how much time does it take for you to recover from that. You know, when everybody was pissed off at Obama, how much time does it take for him to recover and be a bad motherfucker again? Well, he's got to kill bin Laden now, and then it needs, like, 9 months for it to fester in the American psyche. And this is like step one of a bunch of other things that will set in place.
This is the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, they're wagging the dog.
That's for
step one, they kill Osama bin Laden. That's awesome. Now step two, they're going to thwart some nuclear attack. They'll stop that. Look like badasses.
Serial, become republic.
Step three, and then they move into step three, and then they announce all these new jobs because the government will hire like 2 million census workers. The government created 2 million new jobs. Meanwhile, they're just a bunch of people knocking on your door, annoying you, asking you what peanut butter you use, you know, so you put it on a fucking census.
That's why the only thing that could beat Obama would be something like a lesbian, armless lesbian.
Nobody wants an armless woman.
I think a lot of Republicans running are like, shit. I don't want to run against Obama.
Armless black
I'm
lesbian.
I'm not doing it. I'm you pulling think so? Out. I'll do it in 4 years. I'm not running against Obama.
I think a lot of people would be good to run against Obama if they would, like Ron Paul did. You know, Ron Paul and that other guy from New Mexico, the former Gary Johnson.
Yeah,
first of all, both of those guys are, you know, they're Republicans. I'm pretty sure Gary Johnson is, but I know that...
But what do you mean, Ron Paul? Like, what do you mean? What does that verb mean?
Ron Pauling it? Well, Ron Paul is all about smaller government and is all about getting us out of these wars and is all about being, you know, honest about what's happening with the American people and upholding the Constitution and freedom of personal use of drugs and doing whatever the fuck you need to do.
I think we need a new Constitution made by people that we can relate to.
That would help. But then it would be a question of who would be the ones that would draft this fucking thing and how much would the government have a say in it? You know, because when they come up with things like the Patriot Act, you can't think that they're looking out for your best interests.
Yeah.
So we can't let them come up with a new constitution. Yeah. So who the fuck? I mean, the system right now is so corrupt. You can't say, hey, you guys are all corrupt and fucked up. Will you please fix this? Yeah, write out some new
point.
Shit.
It's a good point that people in charge would have to be.
So who would it have to be? Would it have to be scholars?
It would have to be the people.
Well, they've shown time and time again that a lot of these guys, especially when it comes to economics, that are professors at universities, they're not only they don't know shit, they're whores. all these guys, that, especially the professors and economics in that are detailed in that movie, The Inside Job.
They'll just take whatever money they
can. Oh, my God.
Whatever.
These guys are getting paid left and right by all these different these professors in economics get paid to, like, sign off on these different, like, trusts and different funds and different, you know, and sign off on these different ideas and work for major corporations in the future. And they get these huge, cushy fucking jobs. Wow. And make millions and millions of dollars. So they say all these things that are complementary towards certain styles of the market, and they teach certain things that would encourage, you know, the same sort of system that they have set up or had set up for a long time until this recent economic collapse. And they endorse it, and they say all this is rock solid, and this is everything's fine. And it turns out, if you follow the paper trail, these motherfuckers are all of them eventually wind up getting cushy jobs. Wow. It's a real sneaky, snaky situation.
My friend says anytime you see an economist on Good Morning America or anything or whatever talking about Meet the Press, talking mm-hmm. about whatever, goes, they're selling a book.
Yeah,
they're selling some book.
They're selling wrote. Something.
So yeah. they need to say something that's incendiary enough that they can get on those shows to sell more books.
Right. So look at Ann Coulter. She's a fucking professional troll. She's professional at it. She goes on. She says a bunch. She's the like vulture-ish looking. Pretty? She's pretty if you're drunk.
Oh, she's the thinner one with the straight hair.
Yeah, okay, like you might hate fuck her.
Yeah, yeah. No, I fuck
if
her.
You were in San Diego and you were drunk and she was at a bar,
absolutely, I would do that.
Think you're funny and you're a dirty Jew and I want to suck your dirty Jew cock.
If she touched my dick on the way by to the bathroom,
really,
like gently by it, I'd be like, oh, it's
that's
on.
That's what she would do.
No, if she did, then I would definitely. Yeah, you would. Like, you would hey, hit let's it? Get out of here.
Really? Would you call her again afterwards, or would you feel gross? If it was actually Ann Coulter, would no, you start it would, banging
not
her?
Just someone who looked like that.
Would you start bringing her around the store?
Dude, no. She's really cool, man. A lot of that shit is just her public image.
She's playing a character.
She's playing a character.
She is, though. Yeah. She is. I mean, she's very smart at it. She says a lot of incendiary shit, and it's funny. You know, and she, you know, she called Bob Edwards a faggot.
Whoa, no way.
Is it Bob Edwards?
Who's she called
John
somebody
Edwards.
A faggot?
She said, yeah, she called John Edwards a faggot.
What?
Yeah.
She still got a job?
Insinuated. Yeah, man. She's white. She's a Republican. It's all good.
She said on air?
It was really funny. Not she had air. A apology. Jimmy Norton had a good joke. And, you know, like, I wonder why she thought that. Maybe she saw him more than twice.
What do you mean?
Because he looks like a faggot.
Right. Oh.
I wonder what made her say that. I guess she saw him more than twice.
I don't know what that guy looks like.
I love that, the phrasing of that.
That's enough to, like,
you just start assessing him. What the fuck's going on with this guy over here?
Oh, he's good.
He's the guy that his wife was dying of fucking cancer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that guy.
Having a baby with some other chick.
Yeah.
I wonder, man, back before, we're just getting sort of to see now how many dudes were rocking it like that.
All of them. Why wouldn't they?
I think that was just a part of the way it was done. I mean, like, when you go back to, like, the Kennedys,
yeah,
it's sort of like everyone knew. You remember when we were kids, we were growing up, we kind of all knew that Kennedy fucked Marilyn Monroe, right?
Sort of knew, but didn't say anything.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of like one of those things. It was just like, we would just say, oh, that is a different time.
Yeah.
I think back when they had no accountability, like, they could just get away with shit like that.
A lot of politicians are in the position to get laid. They do it. Remember how, you know, you've seen a movie, you see some cop fucking a hooker
mm-hmm.
or something, you're like, oh, yeah, that's normal. But then you actually see a police officer, you're like, no way.
Right.
But why not? That's who's doing it. Regular people are doing these corrupt things that you would think, no, not them. Sluts, too. You come across a slut in full, you know, nice long dress or something. Mm-hmm. Like, no, she wouldn't be like that.
Yeah, the sluts get regular jobs.
Yeah. They're all around us.
That's why women are terrified when their husbands go to the office. Uh-huh. There's always that one crazy bitch that'll suck your dick in a stockroom.
And who's going to resist that?
Yeah. I mean, you might live your whole life and never meet one. Or you might work for the right office, and this girl's crazy, and she shows you a picture of her pussy on her cell phone, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you showing me that for? And the next thing you know it...
You sure seem flirty.
Oh, just a million years. You know who's the best at picking those girls?
Oh.
Joe Diaz. He can spot them a mile away. There she is right there, that dirty freak. I can see it. I can see it in her eyes, Joe Rogan. Hey, Jack, on my dick. Yeah, he had the crazy stories yesterday, man, about trying to pass drug tests by putting various substances over his dick and then covering it with his foreskin.
And so tying it into a knot.
Dropped into. That was just a joke. Like just, so that it would all drop into the piss cup while he was pissing and it would taint the
result. He has 2 weeks.
Yeah. He would, like, you know, add, like, chlorine. He added chlorine. He added Drano.
That's the stuff he put in there. Yes. Oh, my God.
He said he was putting Drano under his foreskin.
And just pinch it, like, put a rubber band around it?
Burn some extra pee hole.
I don't know.
Yeah, like the whole thing. I was trying to picture it in my head, and it made no sense. It was like, does he put it in there and then tie it in a knot at the end with his skin?
He really did that. He was just joking.
Yeah, but how else does he attach it to his?
Apparently, he said he has a big foreskin. His foreskin's very long, so he just stuffs it up there and let it sit there. And then he peels it back. That makes
no sense.
I don't have a dick like his. I can't explain.
Like, it has rubber band around it to cinch that area. All right.
So well, I think it normally when it's soft, it's covered over like an anteater.
So when it gets hard, stays there?
Then yeah, like some stuff, whatever you got in there. He's like, first the chlorine was like crumples. It was like chlorine crumples from like one of those things that you like drop into a pool to chlorinate the pool.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Something like that, like a disc or something.
He shaved it, and then he put that stuff under his dick.
My 1-year-old nephew just had to go under the knife for a second time to do his circumcision. And we had talked about this before. And what happened is the first time they did the circumcision, it didn't take. It started to grow back together or do something. I don't understand what they were talking about. So they had to put my nephew under and do plastic surgery, cut off more, and blah, blah, blah. God. And my biggest thing, I was just like, wait a second. You know, like, this is a high-tech hospital. Why is this happening? How is this happening? Why couldn't you just – I told my mom to get the oldest Jew and give him $100, and that would probably be better than a high-tech hospital.
Give your kid herpes, and they'll suck your kid's dick. Do you know that that's how they do it? They cut it off, and then they suck on it.
Who sucks on it?
The moyle.
Sucks on the dick?
Yes. You don't know that? That the ancient Hasidic practice of the guy, what's the guy's name that cuts your dick?
Moyle.
The Moyle. When he's supposed to suck it. That's how they're supposed to like stop the blood.
Oh, the ones I've seen just, they use towels.
Yeah, they suck it too though, dude. The traditional way is to suck it. There was a whole story because a baby died of herpes because a guy had herpes on his mouth. He had a cold sore in his mouth. And he does the traditional way and he sucks the little kid's dick. Like it sounds like I'm talking crazy.
It's crazy.
But it's the real thing.
I've seen a lot
spell
of
Moyle. Spell Moyle. M-O-Y-L-E.
M-O-Y-E-L.
M-O-Y-E-L.
It's a Hebrew word, so it could be M-O-I-E-L. It's M-O-Y-E-L.
I guess there's
I've never seen that before.
I guess there's this new practice now, this new way to do circumcisions that the hospitals have been doing, and the fail rate is so much higher. But I guess it's more sensitivity for the kid and all that. Yeah. It's super safer. But the crazy thing is
like they always double up.
The doctors say to each other's doctors, it's an art. Like it's a guessing game. You have to be so good at it, and it's just experience.
The Moyle, that's all they do is just that.
Yeah,
and there's a video of a guy explaining why the Moyle has to suck a boy's penis after circumcision. So if you go to look up online on YouTube, go to YouTube and write in "Rabbi explains the importance of sucking."
Explaining.
I'd love to hear this.
Explains the importance of sucking a boy's penis. Yeah, I see. I didn't make this shit up, man.
I would love to hear this.
This is some ridiculous nonsense.
How do you find this?
Me?
Yeah.
Start with Shark Attack. I was looking at it all starts with Shark Attack.
Get in an argument with get an argument with the wife. Hide in the office. Shit gets dark.
Shark bites boy's dick. Oil.
In Yoredeia, that's the second section.
A little loud, it's a little loud.
Four sections of halacha called the Shulchan Aruch, the set table. In chapter 266, halacha 3, 4, 5, and 6, he describes how the circumcision is to be done. He says, after the cutting, the mohel does what is called metzitza, and metzitza means to suck, and it means doing so with his mouth. And one could say, well, why can't you use a tube? Well, you could, technically, but it's not the custom as to why how it was done. Now, why is it that way? Well, you could say that in the olden days you didn't have tubes. Now you can have tubes, so why not? And the answer, as I thought about it, is that it's not as effective because the tube
he's deciding this on his own. He's interpreting this right
seal
now.
Seal as well. It's not as pliable. And furthermore, it's not as quick. And it's not as close. You have to have a quick suction action. You have to have more pliability. And also, there's the theory, some people feel that it is, some people feel that it's not, that the saliva of a human being has some antiseptic qualities. And it's actually brought
in the. I've never heard of antiseptic qualities.
This has to be a troll.
No, that guy's making up reasons why he thinks it should be still the sucking.
And so, yeah.
He's not saying that's the law. He's saying that's what he would.
It has elements of cleaning, of antiseptic.
Okay, kill him. That sick fuck sucking little baby's dicks.
Yeah, that's not right. But
this is the tradition, correct?
No,
I've never heard of this.
That's just
either.
That guy interpreting that. That might have been what they did.
But what he said was that he was reading out of a passage of a book that said that that was what you're supposed to do.
He reads out of the passage, and this is the passage, and then he then interprets what he thinks that should mean.
No. He was pretty clear. He said it says to suck.
Yeah, but you're supposed to use a device because why not a device? Because, well, maybe it's not as good.
He didn't say with the mouth?
He said, you can use a device, you can use something else. But he goes, it's tradition not to.
Right, but
that, he's interpreting it right there on that video.
But didn't it say in the scripture to suck it with the mouth?
No, he said to suck, and that means then with the mouth.
Huh.
He clearly says it. You can interpret, it just says suck.
Okay. I don't want to listen to it again. Yeah. to like figure it out. But
I don't think I've ever seen this tube either. I've never seen that either.
How wonky is it that you're cutting babies' dicks and sucking on them? Yeah. It's like the whole thing
I've
is
never
like,
heard that before.
What a ridiculous thing it is. Like, I mean, people say, like, if you have a boy, would you circumcise your kid? No. Why would I? No, his dick's going to look ugly. Like, what are you doing staring at people's dicks? By the time someone gets your dick, okay, what's the difference? There's a little skin that's going to throw you off? Good. Get out of here.
Well,
you're crazy.
They say it's cleaner, right?
It's cleaner.
We do it because of the commandment.
And Joe, you know, like, most people are circumcised. You know that, right? Yeah. It's because there's reasons for that. Like, my nephew had so much skin.
It's because there's reasons
My nephew had so much skin that, like, there would be no way to clean his dick unless he, like,
pulled it out. About your nephew's foreskin, son?
Because me and my mom had a conversation about it. And we actually talked about my nephew's penis for a half hour. Then we started talking about my penis. And my mom said that the doctor that did my dick used to always brag to her about how good he was at circumcision. Incision. He was like an artist, and then so my mom goes, he did a good job, right?
All right, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry, you can hear that.
And my mom actually goes, he did a good job, right? Does it look good? And I go, Mom, are you really asking me if my penis looks
good? Why don't you just whip it out?
It was over the phone, but I guess
did you say you made it? You want some?
I think it really is. There's reasons why a lot of people should have it. Like, some people have way too much skin.
That's a cute thought.
I definitely have heard
that. But it's not. There's no medical reasons. It prevents AIDS. Shut up.
I have heard
it prevents AIDS.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard sanitary. Get out of here. It's natural. You're supposed to have foreskin over your dick. It's some weird custom we do. We cut it off. It's shit's ridiculous. Yeah, you are supposed to have tonsils. The only time you take them out is when they break, bro.
Yeah.
You don't take your tonsils out if they're working awesome. Your foreskin's working fine.
You're supposed to keep
You compared your foreskin to a tonsil? How about your appendix, bro? You don't fucking need that, bro.
Do you leave your appendix in? I don't
know. When it bursts, you take it out. There's no reason to cut your fucking healthy, normal foreskin off.
Yeah, no, they used to always be fine, but it's like tonsils were fine too in the old days. People died, I guess.
They died. Yeah, that wasn't fine. It was a big difference.
Yeah, so just because it did sit a thousand years ago has nothing to do with what we know now about anything.
Well, I wonder why they started it in the first place. What do you mean? What do you think made them start
cutting
dicks?
I know why Jews do it. It's just the commandment. But I don't know why non-Jews do it. Well, that's got to be for
my mom.
Yeah, but you know why Jews do it, but you don't know why they started doing it. Whose idea was it? How did that stick?
It's not. I don't think it's just because everyone does it. I think there's actually health reasons to do it. It's what my mom is explaining. Because I said the same thing. I'm like, why even do it?
This is a conversation that would be interesting if it was 5 years ago. But with the world of Google, look it up. Health benefits of circumcision. Here we go.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but because I told my mom, it's like, leave the poor kid alone. If it didn't take the first time, don't do it. And she goes, no, the doctor says you want to do this.
Get it one way or the other.
He's going to have a terribly scarred up dick.
Yeah. And I guess they could take off too little and too much. So it's like you have a doctor that's pretty much going, hey, you're going to have a great sex life or you're going to hate your life.
I have Isn't a feeling weird? This is one of those divided issues and that we're going to find two completely different schools of thought on this.
But see, if it was divided, it wouldn't be like 90% or 80% or whatever it is that the people in the United States are circumcised.
Don't even know the numbers.
Yeah, I think it probably still would be because people do what they always done. Yeah. If the tradition for a long time over a few lifetimes is circumcision, you know, it's really difficult to break that off when people start having children. Grandmother starts asking, you know, are you gonna, you know, take the baby and give him a circumcise?
Aren't diamonds and wedding rings the new thing?
The new thing?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Wasn't that just like 100 years ago?
Really?
Something like that. Was that diamonds and wedding rings or like you're supposed to spend a lot of money.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, man.
And now it's like everyone has to do it just because it's like become accepted.
Let's see complications. Let's read complications. Complications ranging in from 0.6 to 55% have been cited.
Wait, having it or not having it?
Yeah, complications in having it.
Okay.
More specific estimates have included 2 to 10% and 0.2 to 0.6%. Okay.
Of circumcisions.
That's like completely, these are completely different numbers. This is Wikipedia. This is just wonky. Anyway, according to the American Medical Association, blood loss and infection are the most common complications, but most bleeding is minor, can be stopped by applying pressure. A survey of circumcision complications by Kaplan in 1983 revealed that the rate of bleeding complications was shown between 0.1% and 35%.
I think it's more now is what the doctor was saying because of this new way that they do it.
That's higher rate of complications?
It's higher in complications. I heard that a lot more people are having problems with circumcisions than they used to. And it's because it's like, I guess it's easier for the doctor, where in the past it used to be you go to like somebody that does it as a living, like a Jew, you know, whatever those guys are called.
That's all about the
yeah, but that guy, that's all he does all day long. Like he's like an artist for penis circumcisions. Now they go to these doctors where they're fresh out of college, and this could be their second time doing it ever. You know what I mean?
The kid's kicking. They do it while the kid's awake, right?
Yeah, so they made it. I think what I believe is they made a procedure that was easier.
You can't put the kid under, right? You have to do it while the kid's awake.
I've seen them do this where they dip their pinky in wine and let the kid suck on it.
That's just to get him drunk.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then they'll.
Before you
touch that's what he's saying.
I was thinking, they actually do that to get them drunk.
That's crazy.
Your joke is what they actually do.
That is crazy that they did that, though.
And then they also will play with his dick a little bit.
Baby. Try to get a little harder.
Before I suck the kid's penis after cutting it off, I like to get him drunk.
Yeah,
with all this combined, you might rival the Christians soon.
Right.
For weird pedophilia shit.
Who was the first? I want to know what the fucking origin of circumcision was. I want to know what the fuck, where it came from.
We should get a penis doctor in here.
I know. I wonder if they know. I wonder if there's some like ancient cave art of here's this.
It's in the pyramid.
This good, yeah, pretty dick.
When Jews said to circumcise your children, I don't think that was the new thing. Like circumcision was probably already out.
Yeah. What caused it?
What to do?
What the fuck caused it? Sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah, it wasn't around maybe 1,000 years ago.
Wasn't it?
1,000 years? Oh, maybe the clap, stuff like that. Maybe
I think shit has always been around, man. It's gotta been around. You know, Al Capone died of syphilis.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Abraham Lincoln had crabs.
Yeah, but what was that?
Abraham Lincoln had crabs.
That was the 1930s. Was Al Capone?
That was 80 years ago.
Okay, come on, man. This shit was around before that. It's been around. I bet it's been around a long time. AIDS wasn't around.
50 years ago.
Right.
Maybe.
I mean, we're guessing again.
Yeah. Who knows?
They're saying that it might help prevent HIV infection.
I could see that totally. More skin, open area. Women have a way higher rate of catching HIV than men. 200 to 1.
Yeah. Really?
Women are 200 times more likely to get HIV from a man than vice versa.
Damn, son.
Because of all that open, woundy-looking area.
They can get all funky in there with yeast infections. And they have to carry the children. It's a lot of goddamn work.
So not circumcising a child might make him way more likely to get AIDS.
Yeah.
So that's a risk you're taking that way. Complications include
and just having it, just having to clean it out, you know, like fucking fungus and
do you have crap. To? Joey Diaz says there's no problems. I knocked the dust off of it. And
he hasn't seen it in fucking 5 years. He doesn't know.
Joey Diaz said his heart was strong after he had a heart attack.
Yeah, his heart's strong.
He hasn't seen it in 5 years. Yeah.
Well, he sees it when he stands in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm sure he gives it a little look over with his reading glasses on.
And you know, another question I asked my mom is like, why is my doctor talking to you about how good he is at cutting penises? Is that like some kind of hit, like he's hitting on my mom?
It's
like,
a very good
really
question.
Good at circumcision.
Yeah, you know why? It's because all my life I've had such a pretty dick. I just want to show you what's up. Do you think about your mom hooking up with other dudes?
I asked my mom once, your mom's single.
She's married, but she was single for a while when I was like from third grade to like, I don't know, seventh grade or sixth grade. She went on
dates.
She dated a guy that owned a houseboat for a while named Denny.
And he used to take you on the boat?
Take me on the boat with his little hound dog.
That's so weird when your mom was cool dating guys.
Yeah.
Oof.
The worst one was is that my mom used to date this guy that was a pilot, and he just got his license, and like he used to have this one of those little small propeller planes, like three seater, like, and we used to fly back and forth from like different go places in it. I just remember going on like 6 hour journeys in this plane as a kid, terrified out of my mind. You know, while they're like flirting in the front, I'm in the back trying to read Garfield.
He would take you up in a little baby plane for 6 hours.
Yeah, we would go on trips. Like go from like Ohio to like fucking West Virginia. Or
there's some dudes that rock it like that. They have like a little propeller plane and they just fly through the fucking sky.
Get out of here.
How fast can those jammies go?
I don't know, but
it's not like a jet fast. But is it like 150 miles an hour fast? Like a Cessna? How fast?
I wonder if you even get a sense of how fast you're going.
It was scary as fuck. And I remember going through a storm once. We went through a storm once. And I remember thinking it was like Airplane, because that was one of my favorite movies as a kid. It was Airplane. Yeah. And I remember thinking that the whole time, like it's just like that movie Airplane. I'm going to die.
It reminds me of that episode of Silver Spoons where they all go down in a propeller plane through a storm and they crash on a desert island.
I don't remember that one.
Ricky's got a bag of Skittles or M&Ms. I don't remember now, but he had to share with everybody.
Wow. A Cessna can travel up the Cessna 406 can travel up to the speed of 283 miles an hour. Wow. That's a lot more than I thought.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
This was like a barnstorming plane, though.
I think a Cessna is a jet, right? Isn't it? It's like a fucking propeller plane, right?
Is it? This was like one propeller in the front kind of plane, and this was scary plane.
Like somebody had to like pull it down.
Yes. This push is the old plane off. This is like, how the fuck, why am I in this plane?
Maybe that's like a dope ass Cessna, you know, because I've heard something about 150 or 200 miles an hour. That sounds pretty fast, but either way, that's pretty cool that you could do that and have that kind of freedom. Get in your own plane and fly to another state.
Yeah,
it's pretty badass.
That's pretty cool.
Avoid everything. Avoid traffic. Avoid everything. Just land. There was a Stephen King movie, and I read the book first, and then I got the movie. There was a book. I think it was one of his short stories, but it was called Night Flyer, and it was about a dude who was a newspaper reporter. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that book.
It's terribly I think good.
It was a book of short stories.
The movie is terribly, awfully great.
Yeah,
it's just one of those. It's like it's bad, but it's good. Like it's one of those movies where I'm happy if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm flipping through the channels bored, and then it comes on. I'm like, oh shit, this is good. Let me get some popcorn, you know. And anyway, in this story, this guy had a Cessna, and he would fly into these little airports, and there was a vampire that was doing the same thing. The vampire was flying in. The vampire had an airplane and would like jack people at airports and shit.
Really?
Yeah, they had like little tiny airports. That. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool and shitty at the same time. It wasn't, you know, anything to be proud of, but it was fun. It was fun to watch.
All of his stuff works better as stories, really.
Yeah, way better. When you start making it a physical reality, like, oh, it's hard. Salem's Lot pulled it off.
Salem's Lot was terrible.
I didn't think it was terrible.
You were young.
Maybe
you're
right.
It was terrible.
I haven't seen it recently.
There were random characters just popped up out of nowhere saying important information, but like, who is that person?
I enjoyed the fuck out of it when I was a little kid, when that guy was dancing in front of the window.
Maximum Overdrive.
I think maybe Stephen King's never really gotten like probably a really good screenwriter and director behind him.
His stories are so fantastical, if there's a word. You know, his stories are so much better in the imagination. You know, some of them like, you know, like the Tommyknockers. Did you ever see the movie, the Tommyknockers?
Never saw a movie. I saw Carrie.
I don't even remember it. It was, I might not have even seen that one. But there was a bunch of them that I've seen. But I don't know if I saw the Tommyknockers. I seem to remember it was like a made-for-TV special.
And Carrie not really being good.
But the book is great. Yeah. The book is really interesting, man. Like Pet Cemetery. The movie's like, it's all right. It's okay. It's not bad. It's kind of interesting.
First I want to play with Mrs. Johnson, then I play with Mommy, and now I want to play with you. I want to play with you, Daddy.
Whoa.
I like Maximum Overdrive.
But the book is the shit, man. Pet Cemetery, the book is fascinating. Stephen King is so good at like pulling at raw emotions, like these people that wanted their daughter back, so they buried her.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing about it's like
the desperation. Like, take the chance. We gotta have our kid. Yeah.
And then they had the cat that came back that was acting all fucked up and weird.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Those fucking movies, these books rather, the movies can never fuck with those books because you'd be alone in your room and you didn't want to stop reading and you would keep going and going, you know? Like I would read them like when I was on the train, when I was headed into, when I was living in Newton, I'd take the train into Taekwondo in Boston. I didn't want to get off the train, man. I'd get on a good one, and I'd be like, fuck. I can't believe my stop is here already.
Yeah.
Christine, wasn't Christine him? That was one of my favorites. Christine, and I like the car ones for some reason.
Christine was awesome.
Christine was the car one.
Yeah.
Oh, and Maximum Overdrive? Yeah. I never read that one.
Maximum Overdrive was the truck one, where the trucks came to
Green Goblin
life.
As the one had the Green Goblin as the in the front of it. It was badass. I just remember the Green Goblin. I thought that was.
Is there any one guy that's responsible for more badass fucking stories than Stephen King?
He's got a lot. He's very, very. He writes a lot.
He's so prolific.
Remember that old Saturday Night Live sketch where he's doing an interview? And he's the whole time he's doing an interview. It might have been Dana Carvey. It's one of those time periods. And he's just typing away on his computer. And he's like, yeah, I'm writing a new book about whatever. And like, how do you get your whatever? He's like, I go to the supermarket. And he just keeps typing. And then all of a sudden he just stops. And the guy goes, what's the matter? He goes, I just got writer's block. Oh, gone. And then he just goes right back to typing.
Yeah, that was funny. No one's got less writer's block than that guy.
Yeah.
He just forces himself to work and work every day. I mean, he was working after he recovered from his horrible car accident. If you don't know the story, some guy was like talking to his dog in his car and not paying attention. He clipped Stephen King and was walking on the side of the road.
Oh, no.
Yeah, nailed him, dude. Oh, no. Sent him flying, broke every fucking bone in his body, his hips, his legs, his femur, his arms, his ribs. He's just fucked for like the longest time. So it took him forever to recover from that. And as he's recovering, they set up a fucking desk for him and gave him a fucking computer.
And he was typing away.
And he started working again.
You know, Ralphie told a story at my story show about how he got into a car accident and the same thing happened.
Really?
He broke all the bones in his body. They told him he weren't going to walk again.
When was this?
When he was, I think, in high school.
Really?
Yeah. And then he was like a jock. And then he said, he was talking about it, but he's like, he just got real solemn. And he goes, you know, and then I gained some weight from there and just kind of spiraled.
Wow.
That's how shit happens in life.
Huh.
Yeah, it was really good. Because really, everyone was just listening hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ralphie's got that thing where you don't talk about it when you're around him, but, you know, he's morbidly obese.
Yeah, he makes jokes about it.
Yeah.
But I still don't really talk about it with him.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hmm.
It's like there's a few of those dudes. It's like you don't know what to say to them. There's nothing you can say. You got your own personal journey you're on, man.
Yeah.
And you're not in a good spot. You got to figure it out. You got to somehow or another turn that boat.
Or you don't. Some people
don't.
You don't beat everything in your life.
Yeah, and you know, for some people, it's so fucking difficult to lose weight. Some people just have it made. They can eat all day and they don't have any problems at all.
It's hard.
But other people, man, like Brian, you fucking struggle, man. Like, you eat like a cheeseburger and all of a sudden you gain like 5 pounds. Like, it doesn't even make sense. A cheeseburger doesn't even weigh 5 pounds.
Right.
Somehow or another, like, you gain more weight than you eat.
Yeah. It's all because of my metabolism. I like, today, I haven't had one thing today and it's 5:30. You know, I haven't eaten one thing today except coffee.
Well, that's not good for your metabolism either.
It's terrible.
You're supposed to eat small.
That's what I'm saying. My metabolism's fucked up, so I eat a hamburger.
You're supposed to eat small meals.
Yeah. You're supposed to do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I suck at it.
Oh.
Bad eating habits.
Yeah. You did it for a while, man. You got down. You lost like some stupid amount of weight, didn't you, at one point in time?
Yeah, 60 to 70.
You did it over the course of like 5 months, right?
Yeah. Well, it was the majority of it was 3 months. And then,
like 10 or 15 pounds.
Wow.
How much have you gained back?
I got down to 165. Right now I'm 185. So
okay, so 20 pounds back. Not terrible. But 165, you were done, or you were still losing weight?
165 is like the max that I hit. No, I thought I looked like I had AIDS, so I was like, fuck this.
Oh yeah,
that's what you look like, stupid.
Yeah, I don't like the AIDS me.
It's just your face is. You just get used to that round.
Yeah,
face.
It's like whenever I shave a goatee. If I have a goatee for like a year, then I shave it. It's like, whoa, what happened to my lips?
Yeah, when I shave my face, I'm amazed at how small my head looks. When I grow a beard, my head looks like it's 10 times bigger.
You get used to
something. This fucking black mass in my face. And I feel like I have this big, fat, stupid face. My face feels fat and stupid.
You grow hair
and then I shave it, and I'm like, oh, it's my head. My face is under there.
Yeah. I just shaved it for that very reason. I was just like, God, I look fucking old and fat right now.
Yeah.
And I shaved it, and I got ID'd for fucking buying NyQuil the other day at fucking CVS.
You always get ID'd for buying NyQuil.
I never had that problem.
Well, they're supposed to. You get ID'd no matter how old you are. It's so that they know who's buying it.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't. It's not because you're carding you, bro.
They
carded you for NyQuil, bro. No, that's not what they're doing, man. They're doing that because you're supposed to get registered. You're supposed to register when you buy anything they can turn into meth.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I love those moments in life where you're convinced. It was like, well, I guess I look really young, and you just have that convinced that this is a fact that this guy, and then you'll find out another fact, and you're like, oh, just because of that.
I heard some girl in Vegas go, oh my God, I still get carded all the time, and I swear to God, she looked like she was 45 years old.
Really?
It was like, no, some people just want to believe that. I get carded all the time. No one wants to ever admit, like, damn.
You're remembering
NyQuil. I thought they took the chemical out of NyQuil that you can make meth with.
Yes, they took the chemical out of most things that you can make meth with. But so you can still do it. We can still make a certain amount of things.
Really?
Acetaminophen, and there's certain things that are very desirable
in the cool medicine.
But codeine used to be in NyQuil. That's, right. That was a different thing. It's not the meth stuff.
The lady said, because when I asked her, I was like, are you seriously IDing me for NyQuil? She goes, well, it's because the CVS's policy is to try to get kids not to get addicted to cough syrup at a young age, and that's why they have to do it.
Well, there's that too.
That's another reason. She said that they ID anyone under the age of 18.
Oh, so she did ID you for your age.
Yes.
Wow. But what kind of shit are you getting? Are you getting prescription shit?
No, I was just getting NyQuil. The other day, cough.
NyQuil. But NyQuil doesn't have codeine.
Wait, if I sent a 16-year-old boy in to get NyQuil, they wouldn't sell it to him?
Right.
This is a new thing?
For CVS.
CVS policy.
I wouldn't know because I've never gone to it. When I say NyQuil, like, I don't buy like the drink. I get like the pills, NyQuil pills, like DayQuil and NyQuil.
That can't be legal for you, them to track who you
but
are.
But I've seen the other stuff.
Yeah, I've seen it too, but when they stopped having codeine in it, I stopped buying it. I had it
wasn't
once.
Fun?
I was sick, dude. I was on news radio and I had the day off, luckily, and I was sick and I took codeine, codeine NyQuil, and I sat in front of my fucking TV watching TV. Going, I feel so awesome. I was so high. Really? I was like, codeine is a very different kind of high. It's a very like happy, silly, relaxed. Like my pillow felt great.
That sounds cool.
My covers felt great. Oh, NyQuil with codeine was the shit.
How much would you have to drink to get that?
I drank whatever that said to drink. It's, you know, it said like a capful.
At Benji's had a July 5th party last year, and we had his grandmother's cough medicine, and some kids were doing
it. Was it the real shit with codeine?
It was like the real crazy stuff.
Well, the real shit with codeine and it's hard to get, but you used to be able to get it at a corner store. I know a comic who used to be addicted to it.
I think it's just over the counter. I think you can still get it if you just talk to like a pharmacist at CVS.
With codeine, bro? I don't think so. I don't know if it's the same stuff, bro. I think
you can still get the liquid NyQuil, definitely.
Yes, you can still get liquid NyQuil. And it'll still fuck you up, but it won't fuck you up as well. I think the NyQuil... Listen, we're talking shit.
We're just quoting facts. We're guessing. We've been doing this all day. Well, it's probably like 60 to 100%.
Yeah, probably 100%.
Maybe.
But yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't even do the NyQuil for a while. What I started off was doing is the no-dose because it was like speed, and so I'd buy a shitload of no-dose. Remember those?
Oh, really?
No-dose?
Yeah. No, I took those for college.
Fucking used to take papers. Like 20 of those motherfuckers.
Vibram.
I was always scared of that shit.
Yeah.
Vibram, you would never do 20.
Because one of those things, you take it, man, you're committed to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you're for the next fucking 3 hours.
Yeah.
That was my first drug.
A lot of people used to do that before football or basketball games to get up, you know? So I take one of those pills, caffeine pills, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Now you have that five hour energy drink.
Now you got that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I finally read the bottle. It says half a bottle for moderate awakeness. I would always take the whole thing and be up for like 9 hours. Yeah, now I just take like a third.
Really?
It's always enough for me. I don't drink coffee like you do.
Yeah, you don't drink any caffeine. Uh-huh. You used to, but then you got the headaches once, right? And you bailed
out. No, I never drank coffee. I switched from Cokes to Sprites. Just my taste changed one day, and then the withdrawal gave me humongous headaches, which was withdrawal. Then I was like, I don't want to have to go through withdrawal if I change my tastes.
I agree, but coffee's awesome.
It's awesome.
You guys are addicts.
Tate Fletcher said it best. He said, it's like a warm hug. That's what coffee's like.
Sounds
it's
like a warm hug.
He's right.
Yeah.
Coffee's delicious. I love it. I love it when I write. It's comforting. Like I write something and I take a little sip. Here's my little reward for writing.
But say, even as a kid, I liked coffee ice cream. I love the taste of coffee.
I do too. I buy is from Hawaii. I buy that Kona coffee. Yeah. It's so delicious, man. They're bad motherfuckers. It's weird how there's like spots in the world where they just have it down. They can just grow one thing. Awesome. And then Kona on the big island of Hawaii, they'd make the best tasting coffee, man. It's so good. It's like cigars from Cuba. There's like Balto Viejo. I forget
the
name of the place.
Is perfect for
it's a small area. Yeah. The area where they can grow the best cigars in Cuba is very small. But that fucking soil, there's something about that shit.
The way the sun hits it every day.
Whatever it is, man. Yeah. The right spot on the planet. The right amount of dead plants have rotted in there over the millions of years. Yeah, and it's just the perfect soil.
And that makes the best tobacco.
Yeah, and they've been growing them there for years and years. Like, they can make a real good cigar when they take the seeds from Cuba and they bring them to Nicaragua or Dominican Republic. They can still make a pretty kick-ass cigar. But there's just something, a little extra kick. If you know cigars, it's a little extra kick about those Cubans.
Habanero peppers you take and get in from Mexico are hotter.
Really?
And habanero peppers grown up here.
How much hotter?
I can taste them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucked up. We never went to that chili place. That dude died.
I always thought I would go.
Fuck, we fucked up, man. We talked. There was a place in Encino called Chili My Soul. And dude, I went there with my boy Tom Hirschko and David Hurwitz from Fear Factor. And it was a guy who was just a chili fanatic. And he was hardcore. Like, you couldn't believe that a guy had a store and he was selling chili this hot. Because he would have a bunch of different levels.
Yeah.
But there was level... I didn't even try 10. I tried level 9.
And that was good.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Wow.
It was that... Wow. That what's that called? Called capiscopum? What is that stuff called? Capsation.
Yeah.
I've only seen it written. I've never said the word. But that stuff, he had that stuff in it. And it had ghost pepper...
The Indian ghost pepper.
That's what it's called, the ghost pepper.
Yeah.
Which
he
is
had
just,
one of those guys.
Yes, he had the extract of ghost pepper in some of his shit.
Yeah, I saw that at a hot sauce place in Austin. But it was at a place that served hot sauce bottles.
The Scoville units are off the charts. So I didn't even have the super crazy death shit. I had one notch below that. I put one scoop into my mouth. My tongue went numb. I started hiccuping completely uncontrollably. Tears were flowing down my face. Snot was pouring down my nose.
Now you can see that's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
For a plant.
Oh my God.
You would never try that again if you accidentally, like, maybe I'll try this berry. You would never try that berry again.
But he told me that he would get dudes that would come in from Tibet, especially. Like, what? People had heard about it. Like, Tibetan dudes apparently have insane tolerance for hot foods. And they would come in and take his death shit and pour more death sauce, more capsation. Capsation? Pour that shit on his chili. And he couldn't believe they could eat it. He would sit there watching them, and these guys would just love it. They were sweating and loving it. Loving it. It's like, I guess different people in different climates develop some sort of a different tolerance.
Yeah, they eat it all the time.
I just shit blood now. If I even get close to that shit.
Dude, I'm telling you, I have never had anything as hot as this chili. And this was, like I said, this is number 9 out of 10. Closed? Done.
He died and closed.
Yeah, he died.
I always thought I would
guy, he was a big it. He was a big guy. He what ate a lot of his own chili. They used to have it too at that place, The Griddle. Is that the place in Hollywood?
Okay, yeah.
They used to have his chilies. They used to sell them there.
Oh, really?
That's how I found out the guy died. Because I said, hey, you guys don't have those chilies anymore. And they go, oh, the guy died. I'm like, oh, no. Such a bummer, man.
See, that's when those people die. Like, when Macho Man Randy Savage died, it's like, it's too bad. But he wasn't in my world anymore. He wasn't assisting me. Or Michael Jackson, he's not making any good music anymore. But, like, when that guy like that dies, you're like, you have a loss now.
Yeah, well, he was a real chili connoisseur. I would have loved to have seen him on that Anthony Bourdain show, the No Reservation show. He would have definitely had to have visited that guy if the guy stayed alive.
Yeah.
But anyway, his chilies were the shit, man. He had like all these different flavors, and they were just, all of them would just, you'd be sweating. And he had like these hardcore dudes that would go there. Like, he had like recommendations and all these articles written about his place all over the wall. Yeah. It was just because the chili was so hardcore that you know, like, all the crazy people would be like, dude, we found the spot. Like, you know, like, if you're really insane into that hot food, some people can just throw it down.
I love it.
I do too, but I don't think I could take as much as you could take. I think
my dad
was
way worse. Was way more than me.
Really?
Yeah. It's a stupid thing people
brag
somehow
about.
Yeah, make it like, oh, I'm tough. I can do this. Like, you're not tough. You just like that stuff better.
It's a manly thing. Ugh. How much you can take.
That's what I told you. The same thing. People in Australia are making fun of me because I wasn't drinking so much. Like, oh, you have no tolerance. And I was like, light up a joint, and I will take this whole country on. Let's do this. You want to talk about manhood? Let's fucking do this.
That's totally unfair because they don't have real pot there.
No, they don't.
I mean, they do, but they don't. They think they do. They think their pot's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's cute. You want to like rub their head? You're sweet.
Yeah.
You're sweet with your little 15% THC. Joey Diaz brought some shit over yesterday. It was 34% THC.
The Matt's? Is that what he brought?
That Matt's OG pure. Kush. That's ridiculous. That shit can change the world, okay? If we get enough people to try Matt's OG Kush, it could change the fucking world.
It takes you for the whole ride, too.
It takes you for the whole ride, and when you're done, you have some things to think about.
Yeah, and you have to like, oh, I need a nap now.
Yeah.
Christ,
and you got some things to think about. There might be somebody you want to call up and apologize for some shit that happened in the seventh grade.
Yeah. Dude, just Alex Moore yesterday had this stuff. He grows his OG Kush from the same clone as the guy who grows at the store, and the little buds are too small. They boil it down and make honey butter out of it. Have you guys ever seen that?
Oh, my God.
They sift it through butane, let the butane, and so it melts into like paste. Let the butane burn off because it just evaporates in the air. And then it's just this like paste. And it's so brutally high.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. I'm so scared just listening to you talk about that.
I know. Fuck that.
I think he said half grams go for like 60.
People don't even know that have never eaten it. They really don't know. They don't. People, especially squares or people really straight, they don't know that experience. How terrible. When we joke around about it, like when Joey pulled out that cookie yesterday, I got scared.
That was that looked scary. Scared. Yeah, I got that taste in my mouth after you eat mushrooms right before you start tripping. That's the taste I got.
First of all, there's a smell that certain really powerful edibles have. There's a smell
on the airline to.
Yes,
those are from the same place he gets them from.
No, there's nothing on the airline. Yeah, exactly. Australia. You didn't do that. There's no way you would do something that ridiculous.
Nobody caught me. It's just a story.
It's just a story. It's fiction, folks. Anyway, yeah, there's a smell. You opened up that cart, and I was like, "We're going to jail."
I didn't expect it to smell like that.
Oh my god, did it smell? It was especially in that tube, that plane.
Oh my god,
when you broke that Tupperware seal and that hit me, I was like, I was thinking, what whole things ran through my mind. Mugshot, stamping the hand, fingerprints, cuffs, jail door shut, phone call to lawyer. Shit, how much, motherfucker? I gotta be here for how long? God damn it, Ari,
slapping Ari.
I thought of flashes. I had like a slideshow. Prison cell.
You ever like have a friend who like curses in public and you see all these kids behind you? He just forgot where he was. He's like, shut up. That was that feeling. Same thing. Like, put that away. Yeah,
dude, what the fuck are you doing? So loud. I was like, oh my God. First of all, you just brought so much.
Yeah.
There was no way you could eat it all.
No.
And I was like, it was for the trip.
Mm.
But we were too deep in, too. No. It was only a couple hours to land. I'm like, I can't do this now. The last thing you want to do is be baked to the gills and then go through foreign country customs.
I chucked them. I didn't take them in.
Yeah, dude. Well, I show up for planes high, but I don't bring anything on me. But when we were in Australia, I ate a cookie right before we left for the airport.
Yeah.
So by the time we got for the airport, I'm giving this lady my passport, and she's telling me that it doesn't look anything like me.
And you're believing her?
She's just some dumb. No, she's just a dumb cunt.
Right.
My face is way more melted.
Dumb. I was like, remember. It was one of those things where you're talking to somebody, you're like, I can't believe I'm forced to have a conversation with you and you're in some sort of position of power.
Right.
You know, I go, that's me. She goes, it doesn't look anything like you. I go, what are you talking about? I go, that's me. I'm smiling in that picture, like, see? That's me. I got a big smile. And she's like, she shakes her head. Like, are you shaking your head because this isn't me? Like, what are you saying? I got it like ambivalent. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
She wasn't going to let you in?
She was questioning me. I was like, oh my God, lady. I've been here for 3 days. I work for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm going.
Oh, wow.
The fuck?
Oh, wow. Sucks.
Crazy Australian broad.
They're all crazy out there.
Oh, they are. But at least, you know, they let you in. In Canada, like, no, you cut a fart in high school. Go home.
That's all it takes, really. Oh, my God.
You did anything fucked up. Even if what you did was, like, you were exonerated from, you're still getting pulled into a room. Eddie Bravo can't go to Canada without getting pulled into a room because he got a gun charge that was illegal. He had a gun on him. He was illegal. He was working for a check cashing company, carrying around a ton of cash with him. He got pulled over for a traffic violation, and he informed the officer, I have a loaded gun in the car. He said, thank you, step out. Why do you need this? They handcuff him. They put him in the car. I work for a check cashing company. I have to carry a gun. I carry large amounts of cash. They check up at the store. Okay, you're all set. Here's your gun. Free to go. But it's still on his record. So every time we go to Canada, he gets pulled over into a fucking room and they grill him.
That's nuts.
Yeah, they don't fuck around in Canada, son. What are you doing?
It's making fun of my sound that I made on my face.
He went,
Brian's in another place today. Brian's strange Brian today.
Brian, why won't you do Shroom Fest? Why won't you be a part of it?
Honestly, I just ate. There's no reason I need to reset my body before I go back into that.
Yeah, it's good to take time off, bro. You learned something. You had a crazy trip.
Right.
And everybody who says that you don't learn anything, and it's just like, fuck you.
I'm
so tired of that argument, man. It's online all the time. Like, you don't learn anything. You're just frying your brain. You are definitely haven't done it.
Here's what I think. I don't feel that there's a connection to a higher power or anything like that, but I learned stuff about myself and what would make me happy. I see myself and my place in the world clearly.
Right.
And the more of that I could hold on to and take back with me, the better it is for me.
Well, the idea is that that is the higher power. The higher power is realization. The higher power is understanding. The higher power is a stage of enlightenment that you can achieve while under the spell of the mushroom that you don't normally have.
Oh,
that so is the higher
it's
power.
Not
the,
it's not God. It's a higher amount
well,
of power.
You keep going
you
deeper
have.
And deeper. It connects you more and more to the truth and more to the love. And that what you're getting out of it by getting a fresh perspective on yourself and dissolving your ego. And, you know, you feel this connection of love and everything. What it's supposed to be is you connecting to the Gaia, to Mother Earth, to the true love of the universe, and then coming back to reality and have something to sort of learn from and have something to sort of like, you know, look at your life. I mean, that is the idea of the higher power.
I sitting in my car and thinking, there's no reason I don't tell people, like other comedians would say, that I like something they do. Just show my support instead of keeping it quiet and only say, yeah, this was messed up. Just tell them. And I remember writing a letter to Chris Fairbanks saying, you have a really interesting delivery style. And it's cool that it works like that. It's very, like, technically, that's awesome. And
that's
He just said, thank you. I really appreciate that. And that's like, why wouldn't I be doing that? Why would I be holding myself back from doing that shit?
I know.
For so long.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
I love when, you're not supposed to say it, but I love when I get emails from like comics that I respect and they say they saw something. It's like, you know, like if Stanhope will send me some email and they saw something that I did and loved it, I'm like, It's a nice feeling, I do it all the time.
The other day really had me going.
I do that all the time, especially in person. I love to do that in person. You see a guy light up, you know, and you tell him, like, God damn, that bit you did was awesome.
Especially if you're not telling him right after they get off.
Yeah.
You're telling him, like, hey, I remember that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll see you after that, but I wanted
that too.
To tell you.
Well, even when they, I mean, whenever you tell him, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Just tell him. Yeah, man, you know, it's all hippie bullshit. Everybody, you know, fucking hippie bullshit. Spreading all that love, you queers. Go suck each other's dicks.
See, that stuff is holding you back. If you talk that way, if you have that, like, why are you so unhappy? Don't be unhappy.
Because a lot of dudes are insecure. They're insecure and they're struggling and they don't have what they want. And when you're in a state where you don't have what you want and you haven't achieved what you want, you're in this constant state of unease. And when you see people who are at ease, there's a tendency, a natural tendency that I've experienced myself to shit on those people. To shit on those people and go, this fucking asshole.
Yeah.
What, you think because you got some money, you're better than me? You know, there's
like,
a tendency to, like, oh, yeah, well, you're a fucking materialist. Yeah, great. Like, you're real deep. Yeah, there's important things in life other than, you know, your career, your life. And they want to say this just because they're in a position of unease.
Yeah, they want to hold you back. It's like hating the Kardashians.
Yeah. It's hard to like anything, man. It's a lot of people have a hard time liking things.
Yeah,
they have a hard time enjoying things because they don't like themselves.
Yeah, even if you're not into it or whatever, you can like lots of stuff. You can be like, that was awesome. That some pitcher can be terrible, but you can throw one good pitch during a game.
Yeah.
Get lit up for 14 runs, but one fucking beautiful pitch, you can appreciate that one pitch.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. I'm saying you can see the positives in everything.
Yes.
You don't have to hate everything. Yes. Just because they're more successful, you don't have to hate them.
I deal with a lot of these message boards, especially for mixed martial arts, and disrespect that these guys show to fighters, you know, that are doing the most dangerous and most fucked up job in the world, the riskiest job outside of being a soldier or a cop or a fire person, someone who actually risked their life. The next riskiest job is probably being a mixed martial arts fighter. There's very little chance you're going to have a good future. There's a real high chance you're going to get badly, badly injured.
And you may never make a lot of money.
Yeah, you're going to have knee reconstructions. Everybody has broken hands. There's always shit that's going to go wrong. And if you do it right, you can get glory and you can get to a great financial place. And you can, but it's risky as fuck. Yeah. And I think that the people who are fans, oh, those people who are out there doing it and trying it, you owe them your respect.
Some level of respect. When you see somebody
a very high level.
A lot of times it's like...
Well, you know, you say he didn't have a good style. You say he didn't fight well. It wasn't a good fight. But to call him like a fang these things that they say on these forums, like that people, they get so fucking insulting of fighters and shit all over all their performances. It's like, man... Guys cancel each other out. Like, people were shitting all over Thiago Alves. Like, Thiago looked like shit, couldn't pull the trigger. Rick Story's a beast, man. That kid's a gorilla. Mm-hmm. That kid jumped all over Thiago, kneed the fuck out of his legs, didn't give him any inches, any room.
Instead of saying Thiago sucks, they're like, how good is that Rick Story fight?
And it was like, oh, Story's a blank, and he just holds on until he's put me to sleep. You're crazy. They're balancing themselves out because both guys are awesome as fuck. They're canceling each other out, rather, because Thiago Alves is awesome. He's a bad motherfucker. And this Rick Story's a bad motherfucker, too. And when you put the two of them together, sometimes it takes a long time for something to happen because they're defending and canceling each other out, and they're throwing bombs at each other, and both of them are covering up well. You know, they're well-matched when they're well matched, it makes for a really difficult fight for one guy to get the upper hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So exactly. People get so disrespectful and so like unappreciative of the efforts of what these fucking guys go through. We can't even wrap our heads around what they have to do. They dedicate like 6-8 weeks of their life minimum
training
to
these fights.
Training all day. Yeah. Every fucking day.
When I see the training videos, I'm like, ugh, I never want to do any of that. Oh, every day.
And it's those brutal. People probably are 11 years old. You know, it's like internet, hey, guys. You get these people and you're like, oh, we forget. Yeah. That guy's probably
You know what's a lot sadder? Some of them are in their 40s. Yeah. And they're still just a bunch of mean cunts talking shit about whatever Machida or whoever.
Whenever somebody says something, I see something like that online, it's like, yeah. I wish. I don't know.
Well, I think people are learning how to navigate online. I think there's more negativity than ever online, but I think that's because there's more people online than ever.
I heard this.
There's places where you can find where you can minimize your negativity, like your Twitter account. Uh-huh. You can easily minimize the negativity on your Twitter page.
Like blocking people that constantly do that?
I very rarely will argue with anyone on Twitter. Yeah. I just, when you say something cunty, what am I going to defend myself? I just block you, or I retweet what you said so that everybody else knows what kind of a cunt you are.
I love when people
and
shit
then
on
I block you.
If they say something where they're just questioning something I thought, then that's okay. Just say it nicely. But when you're like, you fucking idiot moron, it's like, shut up.
I know, there's so many idiots.
I heard
out
this
there.
Thing on NPR today on the way over here. They were talking about this guy wrote some book about how the way you act online will bleed into your real life.
Oh, for sure.
So if you're constantly going, you fucking loser, idiot, kill yourself, this video is terrible, fuck you. Like you take that with you to work the next day and you're more negative, not all of it, but some level you're way more negative with your coworkers and stuff and your friends.
Totally makes sense. You know, you can't just get away with that. There's energy connected to all that negativity you're pumping out, and it's going to come back around. Again, sounds like hippie bullshit, but it's proven
but you know
to
what?
Be reality
hippies, when
over and over again.
They look like they're 35. Okay?
Yeah, really?
They have great lives. They have stress-free lives. Go be a hippie. It's not the worst thing in the world.
New challenge for you, Ari.
What are you talking about?
Every time you see a flower, you have to smell it.
Every time I see a flower? Yep. That's going to be so hard. I have
that's
to pull
ridiculous.
Over and stuff.
Why would you,
a rose.
No.
I still have to pull over. Stuff.
What if you do fucking this florist in every corner in LA?
I've been doing it for like the last couple months.
Yeah.
And it's so embarrassing. The other day some dude was like skateboarding and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm walking by this rose. I have to stop and smell this flower, but there's this kid skateboarding coming towards me.
You should stop and smell it.
I
if you
did.
Want to smell that flower,
I did.
Why are you forcing yourself to do it whether you like it or not?
Because it's good.
It's good?
It smells great.
It's good to tell yourself not to be embarrassed about the skateboarder. Just go ahead and smell it if you
it
want to smell it.
It smells good.
Brian, I'm bringing you to a doctor. I'm convinced there's something really wrong with you.
Major psychological damage.
Major damage. You're like a... I don't know. There's something up there.
You don't see anything awesome about stopping and smelling a flower.
Absolutely. Every now and then, but I don't let it fucking hold you up and be late for work and make you miss your flight.
I love it.
I heard there's so many flowers I have to keep pulling over. This
is Rose
gay.
Garden. No.
No, I'm saying when you're walking, if you walk by one, smell one. But it's great. I've been doing it for a while, and I love it now. It fucking smells good shit.
So, Ari, you had a freak out when you were at Brian's place.
Yeah, here's another thing. Because of that, I did have a freak out. I would say, if you're going to do psychedelics, make sure you're around people that you trust, people that will help you. Don't want to put yourself in a bad environment.
Good advice.
Don't do it live on a podcast when you're jammed into a room with five other people probably either.
Maybe.
Yeah. So the idea was you were gonna do it on a podcast live. You're gonna do salvia, which is still legal, right? Is it legal in California?
Yes,
still?
It's legal.
So we weren't doing anything wrong, folks. Yeah. So you decided to do. Isn't that crazy that salvia is legal? By the way.
Sure.
Anyway, so you're doing salvia. You're doing it live on the air, and then you have a little spaz out.
Yeah. Well, I the problem is here's the deal, and I will say this: I can't stress enough. Really, you need to trust your friends because I would watch Brian fuck with everybody else that was doing it. Shove fart spray in their face and tell the girl she had her boobs out and make her feel self-conscious. And it's like, Brian, don't. Stop doing that. You don't, like, they're fucked up. Like, acid and mushrooms and salvia, they don't need anybody's help to work.
Right.
They will work on their own chemically.
Right.
So every time he started pulling at me, I knew he was fucking with me in some way, but in my weird world where I barely had a grasp on reality, where I'm like, no, if you pull me over there, that's where I'll die. And I know you're not trying to pull me over there, but I'm going to drown to death for the sake of your little game.
What?
Yeah, because you don't know where you are. I'm in a different planet where the rules of physics, of the gravity and the time.
And meanwhile, Brian is pulling you through
Brian
this
world. Brian is pushing me, and I think he's fucking with me.
All right,
I don't think he's helping me
first, let's rewind here. We had two other people do it on this podcast, which is the Naughty Shock podcast. And the first person was C-Hang. And again, I did not fuck with either of these people while they were doing
it. Yes, you did.
No, after it was done and they came out of it, we kind of fucked around, but they were back into consciousness.
No, you shoved
this is not
that fart spray fleshlight into his face.
He shoved it in your face
while you were under too.
No, all right. That's another thing.
I didn't see that.
If you watch the video, it was behind his back and it was only for the cameras. It wasn't for Ari.
Yeah, but I kept hearing you say stuff like, "Hey, this time say this, this time." So then it's like now I'm always like, "Are you guys fucking with me, or is my reality changing?" If I see some, let's say I did see that Drake's becoming waterfall.
Right.
I want to know something's fucking with. Like I want to know that's probably not the case. Right.
Well, if you now watching this video, you realize I wasn't fucking with you at all.
No, you were. You were putting psychedelic looks on the screen behind me.
All right, the screen behind you was behind you, so you couldn't even see it.
I could turn this far and see it.
But you didn't.
But you were trying to do the same thing to Allison. I saw you fucking... All right,
What I was doing was not fucking with you. It was for the video viewers of the show. The TV was behind you. You couldn't even see the TV.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think that he could have possibly misconstrued what you were doing?
When I took acid at UFC, before I even started tripping...
He couldn't see what I was doing.
Hold on, listen.
Before I even start tripping, people, there's certain types of people, and that's okay. It's just who you are. Will like to do things like this, which you did. You go, Aria, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Brian, I know I'm not tripping yet. And you keep trying, and it's like, I get it, but it's annoying.
Hey.
Because soon I will try.
Brian, you got to let him talk.
Because soon
you
I know exactly what he's talking about.
But you can't interrupt because this is not, Brian, this is not a podcast. There's a million people listening.
All right, continue.
I don't want anyone to do that because soon I will be tripping, and I want to know, oh, that's me tripping. I want to trust that I'm losing my reality now and not someone's fucking with me and making me think. When we made Psycho Patty think she was on something, she didn't think she was on anything. We made her think she was tripping or whatever it was. We didn't fuck with her trip.
Okay, all right. This is what I told you last time you said this. When we did, what you were talking about, where I was talking like this. Uh-huh. All right, this is two people having fun out at a UFC, and you did acid.
Yeah.
It's not me fucking with you when I go, are you feeling it? It's me just joking around with you, as a friend would do if we weren't even on acid.
Right, right.
I'm not sitting here going, I am going to fucking ruin this trip. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that.
You are so attached to you haven't done anything wrong. Do you understand how this is coming off?
And you're attached that you think I did.
I'm not saying you did. I have not said you did once. But I'm saying you are so attached to that. You are so defending it. You can't say, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have been saying that if it was annoying to you while you were trying to like trip out on acid. Maybe it was annoying. I didn't mean to be.
But you're not listening to what happened.
I know what happened.
When Allison was under and you kept saying, oh, you had your boobs out. You said it a few times.
Allison wasn't under. You know that, right?
She never went under.
I know she didn't went under because she was sitting there talking to us the whole time.
So she faked it?
No, she. When you're in Salvia, you either go under or you're feeling fucking crazy, right?
Yeah.
Ari went to a different world. That's what Allison didn't
do. So wait a minute. I don't get what you're defending. So she was going fucking crazy and you're telling her tits were out, so that's okay?
No, no. We're all sitting there talking to her back and forth. She was making sense. She was not out of her mind. And we were talking about...
She later said she was still tripping out balls.
No.
Talk good when you're fucked up on psychedelics and still be fucked up, though.
She knew where she was, is what I'm saying. She did not fall into a different world. So did C.
When I was like, I'm going to barf. And everyone's like, no, you're not going to barf. And I was like, to Triple, I was like, I wouldn't sit right there if I were you. But I was freaking out. I felt like I was going to barf and I was toppling over. But I was still...
And like, he was telling you you're not going to barf. Say, move. He was telling you you're not going to get barf. Who got you a trash can? Who is doing all this stuff to you? But you still think I attacked you somehow when you did your salvia.
Yeah. And beforehand, too. I see you fucking with people. It's okay.
And then when we did acid one time, you thought are you feeling funny?
I had to fully tell you
that
at some
was
point,
me fucking with you.
But I had to fully tell you at some point, like, Brian,
why do you always think I'm fucking with you?
You like to do that. That's your sense
why
of humor.
Why is that in your head that you think
well,
I
wait,
like
wait,
to
wait,
with
Brian,
you?
Brian, Brian, do you not understand that maybe the way you play around, even though I know you're just playing around, it might not be fun for other people?
Yes, but what I'm saying is what he's talking about when he was doing acid, we were walking at a UFC.
Brian, hold on.
Some sort of excuse.
You are explaining the reason why you did things, and you are saying that you did it just as a friend, and you are completely discounting his experience with what you were doing, and that what you were doing was annoying to him.
His response
You're saying that you were doing it all from a good place, a place of a friend, a place of playing around, so he shouldn't be upset. But what he's saying is your actions are directly making him feel like shit, and you're not coming to grips with that.
I see what you're saying, but your officer didn't hear what his response was. Hey, I'm not tripping. And I was like, oh, no, we're just fucking around. We're walking to the bathroom. We're not sitting here making voices to Ari that's sitting there going, wow, I'm fucked up. We're walking to the bathroom at a UFC.
I understand, Brian.
I know.
All I'm saying
and
is
I'm understanding,
you understand
obviously,
what he said.
Okay.
What he said. What, Brian, you have a real hard time with other people not agreeing with you on something.
I get what
he's saying.
I gave
you a bunch
saying.
Of different examples of you fucking with people.
All right, what's another one?
Brian, you don't feel bad for your actions, man. You don't feel bad for making someone
Joe,
annoyed.
You're making me feel bad about something that didn't exist. We're walking to the bathroom, both, and he's not
I
tripping.
I am not trying to make you feel bad about that. I'm making you feel bad about defending it relentlessly.
I'm not
the action itself was no big deal.
And I'm saying it's not a big deal.
It is a big deal to him. He said that you annoyed him.
Was that a big deal?
You annoyed him, and then when he was tripping, you were annoying him more.
That's the game. I get it. But I get it.
All right. Was that the only thing I did that night? Yes, right?
I know later in the night, I had to tell you, like, Brian.
Later night, what did I do?
Okay, later in the night, I had to tell. So, something where I tell you, Brian, seriously, I need your help right now. I can't have you fucking with me. I need you to be protective of me instead of fucking with me.
I know, but I wasn't doing anything when you said that. You just said that when we were sitting there at the UFC. Do you remember that?
We're on our way out. Yeah, we're towards the outside.
Yes. I wasn't doing anything when you said that. You were just telling me to not fuck with you.
Yeah.
Right?
It's because you were talking weird before.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, anyway, see Hong when you put the spark spray in his face.
He wasn't.
Allison.
All right, I didn't.
But he was. We found out later that he was.
Huh?
We found out later that every time you gave somebody 3 minutes, they were like still super bummed. Now, you couldn't have known that. Fine. We all thought they were fine. But you were fucking with them. That's what you like to do. You put that fart spray in people's faces. Like,
did I put it in his face or did he open it up? I don't remember.
You just shoved it right in his face. There was no second layer to it at all.
Or did I open it up and see it?
You just opened up and shoved it in his face. He didn't even touch it. There was no like smell that thing. Right. You just.
I don't remember that.
Okay. It's all on there.
But with Ari, with that whole thing that last time, mm-hmm. when I was talking funny and stuff like that, yeah. That was not me fucking with you. And I know you said that at the time, but that really upset me because what we were doing, we were just walking to go to the bathroom and we were conversating. And
sitting in our seats. There was one time we were sitting in our seats and you were like,
we were walking to the bathroom.
I'm not doing anything. I was like, Brian, stop it, please. And you go, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, Brian, all right, I was just joking.
Yeah,
but it's like, it was kind of ruining my trip.
But Ari, you weren't tripping yet. Remember?
I know, but you want to know what's
you know,
what's
but
not.
I know. If I saw you sitting there tripping and it wasn't just 10 minutes after you took acid, I wouldn't do that. This is what I'm trying to tell you. It wasn't me attacking.
I understand that, but you did do it and it did annoy
him. And when you're losing your grasp on reality,
right?
All right, so I will never talk in a weird voice anytime you do any kind of trouble.
That's not going to
You're so defensive, man. This is
a bad conversation. Don't you think I'm being attacked? So do you understand what you attack me like the RSS feeds right now?
Dude, you're not being attacked right now. You're acting silly.
Okay.
No one's attacking you.
All right.
My point to the people out there was, I would not do mushrooms with someone who you might think would mess with you in any way.
Look, no one's saying that what you did do didn't come from a place of fun and friendship and that you weren't trying to fuck with him. But if someone does not want you to do that while you're doing it and you do it and it bothers them and it freaks them out, whatever you did to him, I saw you grabbing him. I saw the video when he was fucked up and you were holding on to him and talking to him. And I saw you pull out the fleshlight. And I know you were just joking around, but can you not see that even though you're doing this as a friend and just playing around for the video, while he's tripping out, that might not be comfortable.
That's what I'm saying. You saw the video and you're still thinking I did something wrong in that video.
Dude, what is wrong with you? I'm not saying you did something wrong. I'm saying you were playing around and he might not have enjoyed it. Is that okay? Is that okay that you do things and other people don't enjoy them? Can they not enjoy some things you do?
You do like to disagree with people. So I remember somebody telling me once, you like, you have a lot of
in the video, I was the one that telling everyone to shut up for saying don't talk about death. In the video, I was
you're
the
still
one
fucking with him. It didn't discount all the other shit you did.
In the video, Ari tried to stand up, and I was the one that jumped to the ground to try to hold him so he wouldn't hurt himself.
That's absolutely great, and thank you for that. But
and then you started swinging and flailing and kicking, and instead, while everyone was just watching, I was trying to protect your legs and hand from not punching windows and breaking things all around you.
And do you know
was
where
I not
was?
Right?
I was in this place where I was coming back from another world.
Right.
Where the laws of physics did not apply to me. And I thought I was in grave danger. And here's this trickster who's grabbing me who doesn't understand because he's not been in my world.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying what you thought. I'm saying is just that Joe's saying that I did all this stuff to you, but
I'm
the one that
did anything wrong. You're not even listening to what I said. I didn't see you do anything wrong. I said what you did out of a place of friendship and playing around and doing it for a video show, and you didn't do anything wrong. But sometimes things that you do that are not wrong still annoy people, and as a general courtesy, you don't do those things because other people don't like you to do them to them. It's that simple. It's not that you did anything wrong. It's just some people don't like you doing some shit while they're in another fucking dimension.
Those jokes, it's like, the obvious joke is like, watch out. It's like, all right, I get it. Best case scenario, you get a smile. Worst case scenario, you've ruined this trip. which is not the most egregious crime in the world.
So now you think I ruined your trip?
You take the chance to. That trip was ruined because of you, because my lack of trust with you.
The salvia trip.
But not a big deal. But, anyone else there too, still had a great time. Don't make it, what you saw there was not a bad time.
So your bad trip was all my fault.
Just the last part. I was trying to get you specifically, Brian Redband, off of me because you were going to play a trick on me and put me into a really dangerous position that you weren't aware of. This is me having almost no grasp on reality.
It's the
obviously it's very unfortunate. But in that
state, it was like, I don't want the trickster fucking with me right now.
It's very unfortunate that you had these feelings. It's very unfortunate that Brian feels attacked here. You know, but I think that first of all, the idea of doing this fucking crazy psychedelic drug on a podcast with a bunch of comedians, it's ridiculous. You can't get upset at Brian because here you are on a fucking, the idea of what you're doing is silly beyond belief.
And guess who didn't do it?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put myself in that situation.
Okay, but what I'm saying, you keep thinking that I'm attacking you. I don't think you did anything wrong. I watched what you did. I don't think you did anything wrong. But you have to accept the fact that even though you didn't do anything wrong, you shouldn't do it if it freak somebody out. If it's fucking with someone's head, and you know they're telling you to get the fuck off them, maybe you should get the fuck off them. You gotta leave them alone. I know you weren't doing it. The idea was ridiculous. You should have never done it.
Why?
I mean, but why not, right?
It was great.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not the perfect way to do salvia, and you're gonna get upset at some shit because salvia is such a mind-blowing, incredible, reality-dissolving experience. And if people are fucking with you and joking around with you, and there's a camera on you, and the fucking internet world is watching, it's gonna suck anyway, man. It's gonna be fucked up.
I don't mind the internet world watching. And I don't mind. And I still was. Seriously, what you saw, if you see that video, that was a great trip. I had a really good time. When I was in the other place, I was there for months and years.
We're going to take you and we're going to put you in my fucking cage out in the garage where you can't hurt yourself. And then we're going to salve you the fuck up and push you in that thing and lock it down. And then we're going to videotape you.
That's
so
like
you
a
can flail around and just, you know, going to run in heavy bags.
And I'll be handcuffed underwater in Joe's pool.
Yeah, he'll be doing a David Blaine with one of those Chinese surgical masks on.
It just bugs me, Ari, because I really didn't fuck with you. And I didn't fuck with you.
You were fucking with everybody.
That last thing, the UFC, I purposely did not fuck on you because I thought you were crazy.
I think you were fucking with people, but I think you were doing it for the right reasons. You were doing it to be funny, make a funny show going on.
Of you not talking right and just making those jokes is like, joke comes from a place of, wouldn't this be funny if I'm messing with
you? And Sihang and Allison, I can't speak for them, but I bet you asked them, both of them, if I fuck with them or ruined their trip in any way, they would say absolutely not.
Okay, okay. Sihang doesn't remember you shoving that thing in his face, that's fine. But I saw you shove a fart spray thing in somebody's face while they were out, and I'm like, that might happen to me when I'm out if this guy who likes doing that is around.
Yeah, I mean, it's all well and good.
I can't say it clearer than that. You put me in you didn't a position do anything to not
wrong.
Trust.
Brian, you didn't do anything wrong. You're doing a lot of this stuff for
no,
the sense
I disagree.
Of entertainment.
Please do not
for
fuck with people's trips out there. Let them have their trips.
Yes, but if you're going to have a fucking trip on a comedy podcast with a bunch of comedians and they're all laughing and giggling, guess what? It's going to be wonky. Yeah. It's going to go nutty, and I don't think you can blame the comedians for fucking with you.
And especially when the ongoing gag is our Fleshlight wine and cheese prank.
Okay. But that said, Brian, you fucking lock
that
up and you feel
that
like
make
you're
people's
attacked.
Brains say okay.
You lock up and you don't ever consider the possibility that maybe you could have done something to annoy him. You have to
I will tell you this.
It doesn't have to be logical if you annoy somebody. Sometimes you just annoy someone you don't mean to.
Oh, I didn't mean to close my. There was a time at Sal's once where some girl, it might be Shay, it might be somebody, she was like, "Oh, you got a lot of layers on." You're like, "I don't have any layers, it's like three layers." And I'm like, "Brian, it's not a bad thing if you have layers on." And you were like, "Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I have a few." But it was like, no one's attacking you. You don't have to, like, deny instantly.
Look, I like to wear layers.
I know,
and
so
this
fine.
Layer right here, look how thin this is.
I know.
Feel how this is not a considered
layer. I'm getting
you
checked for ovaries tonight, boy.
Actually, I had a question for you, because I stopped doing soy milk recently because of all the estrogen and stuff like that.
Good move. Start feeling like a man again.
Almond milk have the same problems?
No, I drink that every day.
Goat milk.
That's how I make that. Goat milk's real good. It's easy to adjust. It's very easy to adjust. It's really good for babies. Babies love it. The almond milk is delicious. I use that for my shakes every day.
Yeah.
But don't get the shit that's flavored because it's just sugar milk.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you get like a vanilla. There's nothing healthy about that.
Absolutely.
Vanilla, you can make your own almond milk. I know some dudes who make their own shit. It's supposed to be much more delicious, but it's a huge fucking pain in the ass.
Is soy milk good for you?
Yes. It's not bad for you, but you can get soy is a tricky thing, man, and especially if you follow genetically modified food, and soy a lot of times is genetically modified.
Brian, I wasn't trying to attack you.
No, the only you always came up,
subject just changed.
That one thing, that one time when you said I was trying to rook voices, I knew I wasn't fucking with you because I knew you weren't tripping it.
I know, but it's like that
was me just going, hey, cause you're about to do acid. Are you excited?
That's all good. Humor, Brian. doesn't help anybody when they're tripping.
It's all good,
but
Brian,
I didn't mean to attack you at all.
The correct answer sometimes is sorry, I was fucking around. I thought it was funny at the time. Instead of like defending to the death what you've said.
My only thought was, if I want to do, you're a great guy, but under these circumstances, not perfect. If I'm going to have a nice family meal.
I just love that Sam and everyone else was like going, ugh, he looks dead. And they're saying all these horrible things. And I was the one guy that told him to
Brian,
stop.
Does it really matter what other people did? Does it really matter if there's something that you did?
That's like
did
if people say, what about that guy
someone?
Who's speeding? How come you didn't stop him?
Like, if there's something that you did that annoys him, you have to take responsibility for that. I'm not saying you did anything wrong, man. We've discussed this to death.
RSS feeds.
Brian Reichel perhaps will be joining us in Vegas. I might throw him on stage, this motherfucker. He needs to go up there.
At that huge place?
Yeah. Oh my God. Ari Shaffir is going to be there July 1st.
July 1st.
I believe Benson's going to stop in and do a guest set too.
Oh, nice.
So July 1st, that's in Vegas. June 25th, I'm with Coco Canary, Joey Diaz, the Captain Razor. What does he put on his dick? Drano on the dick?
Drano. Ajax.
Captain Ajax
Drano.
On his cock.
Drano.
Drano dick.
Anyway, Carnegie Music Hall, Saturday, June 25th. Wow. And that's in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
No, it's not the New York one. It's a big deal.
That's
big,
such a humongous difference. I was like, I didn't hear about you playing Carnegie Hall.
I know. How many people fit in Carnegie Music Hall in New York?
I don't know.
I can't fill that thing. But I think, didn't fucking Charlie Sheen fill that thing?
I don't know.
I need a scandal. I don't want it. Anyway, Carnegie Music Hall in Philadelphia, which is the day before the UFC. And then there's another one, like I said, July 1st. It'll be me and Ari and Joey Diaz and most
that
likely
that place was great.
Doug
that place
Benson.
Is the best place we played in Vegas.
Yeah, we got it
over
down.
All the years, that was the best place.
We did a lot of gigs at House of Blues. And House of Blues, the people that work there are really cool as fuck. But the venue is too wonky.
And Quartz Palms Room was fine.
It's okay.
You know, yeah. But it's not. That place was the best.
That Mandalay Bay Theater is fucking perfect. Yeah. And it's like 1,800 or so people.
Yeah.
And it's fucking packed in there. And we did it a few months ago, and we're going
to
do it
perfectly,
again.
Perfectly way to sit a theater show for comedy.
So listen, I think we went through a little bit of a hissy fit today. Had a little bit of a cat fight.
Well, you guys can all watch it too. It's Naughty Show number 23 on Death Squad.
Or not.
Naughty Show number 23.
Yeah, thanks for helping us out here, Joe.
Death Squad. Subscribe to Death Squad.
Yeah, so Ari's podcast is The Skeptic Tank. It's on the Death Squad.
Yeah. And
this is part of Naughty, though.
There's a bunch of other ones that are really good there. The Naughty Show and Tom and his wife have Your Mom's House.
Yeah.
So check that out. It's Death Squad on iTunes. And we'll be back again tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel with Duncan motherfucking Trussell. Trussell. It's a full Death Squad week.
I'll be
so,
in San Diego.
Are you guys
going
to kiss and make up? You guys going
to
kiss and make up?
I'm not mad at Brian at all.
Right.
Okay.
That's why I never even brought it up to him.
Are you in La Jolla?
I'm in La Jolla this week. And
Comedy Store in La Jolla, Friday and Saturday night. Who are you with?
Me and Steve Simone going down there and Jason Lucas.
Nice.
Yeah, buddies.
Excellent combination. And that Comedy Store, if you've never been there, Comedy Store in La Jolla is the shit. But jump on it, bitches, because it's going to sell out quick. It's that place is packed all the time. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Duncan. Fleshlight. And thanks to the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight in the corner and enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Shoot your loads at a discount. Do you want one of those?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, it's scared. Clutter at my place.
Yeah, and you'll use it every day until you bleed to death.
It's the cleaning it. I don't think that's a good idea to have around my place.
It's easy.
What?
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
I love you guys. Thank you.